Blog Talk Radio.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Let's talk on Blog Talk Radio. I'm the host, Mr. Talk. And throw out to the pause and the action and the upgrade in there. Hey, man, we back. Oh, man, I'm telling you, we got a show on the plate today. Do we really want to change? What do you think? Okay, that question. It's not time for you to ask. You know, we dilly dally around a lot of things. They're going to ask you, we want to change. Some say, yeah, we want some change. But then others, well, they're honest. They know we don't want any change. Well, you know what? We're going to talk about this thing. So I hope y'all ready to sit back, relax. Going to get whatever you're sipping on it and get ready for a very interesting show, to say the least. That's right. I'm Mr. Talk, y'all. And this is Let's Talk on Blog Talk Radio. So how y'all doing out there, man? Hope everybody had a great weekend, a good Monday. Today is Tuesday, the second day of the week. Oh, man, I'm telling you, and I am ready. I'm hyped, ready for a good show. What about y'all? What y'all up to out there, y'all? Y'all ready for a good show? I hope so. I'm telling you. Oh, man, so many things have happened since when were we last on the air? Wednesday? Man, I'm telling you, that was a long time. It seems like forever. Oh, man, it seems like it's been a long time since we've been on the air. And I'm telling you, I'm glad I'm back, man. Yeah, I missed y'all. I did. I must admit, those 2 p.m. time slots just didn't seem the same without me talking to y'all and y'all talking back to me. You know what I mean? So, we're here, though. We're back, and we're ready to get some things started. That's for dang on sure. So if you want to go ahead and join in the conversation or just listen in, just give me a call, 347-838-8622. Email me, ericlesstalk@gmail.com. Or you can follow me on Twitter at driven4frlife62 as well. You know what I mean? Yeah, we got all these good things going on. Well, stop by the Facebook page, Let's Talk with Eric Jackson at Facebook.com. Yeah, I'm telling you, man. It just, whew. Very fun, very fun. Oh, man. Yeah, I know. You know, I thought about this. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to stop giving the rules of the show. I am. because I'm just going to let it flow. I ain't going to let the rules flow. Y'all know what the rules are. I shouldn't have to say them every day. So we gonna try and cut that out the part of the show. We really are. Because I don't really need to be telling y'all what the rules are. A lot of you listen long enough, you know the rules. And a lot of y'all who call in, y'all can tell other guests what the rules are. You know, y'all can patrol them, do what you got to do. That's all I'm going to say about that. Yeah. Ah, man. Y'all know what? You know, and this kind of goes with the show. Do we really want change? You know, I witnessed something over the weekend that just was, it was kind of mind-boggling. It really was. I was at a reunion and, you know, they were talking about initiating a young man into the so-called family. Yeah, we're going to initiate him into the family. Well, now, you got a whole bunch of family members there, both young and, you know, I guess you say middle age, a little older. And you figure when they say we're going to initiate you into the family, they're talking about education, you know, telling them some things, letting them know what's going on in the family. But here's the shocking part about it. Well, I guess it really wasn't as shocking as, and I'll let you decide whether it was shocking or not. The initiation part was teach them how to drink alcohol. That was initiating, teaching them how to drink so they wouldn't be able, they wouldn't get drunk, you know, or intoxicated, or have a blitzed, or, you know, blind, or whatever great words you can say as far as, you know, how what happens when you get drunk. But the important thing was, and I'm sitting here watching this, and I'm taking it all in. You know, and the young man, he was just all confused. You know, he's trying to justify why he can't drink, or he has been drinking, but he just can't drink too much. And the family members were steady sitting there saying, "Come on, this is part of your initiation. We're going to get you drunk today. We're going to get you messed up." I mean, this went on for hours, man, hours. You know, trying to bait the young man into drinking and carrying on. And, you know, as I'm watching this, I'm sitting there and I'm looking at the young man, looking at me. And, you know, I'm just sitting there watching, observing, you know, as his family members are steady trying to get him to drink as part of their initiation. You know, and that kind of brought me to the title of today's show. Do we really want change? You know. And it was said over and over and over again, you know, this is what we do. It happened to me when I was a kid, and my uncle so-and-so and my daddy got me drunk and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. So now it's your time. And it made me sit back and think, is this what we consider a valuable part of family learning? Is this what's going to help us lead to positive change in our communities and our families? Teaching our young men and women how to sit there and drink some alcohol to where they won't get drunk. You know, and you just shake your head for a moment because you're like, are you really serious here? You know, are you serious? Is this what initiating into the family is, into a family is? Teaching a young man how just to drink as much as he can. But nobody said anything against it. Everybody was pushing them on. And I just thought that was interesting. And, you know, that's why I kind of came on to, do we really want change? Because those actions right there showed that no one was really thinking about change. Everybody was happy with the status quo. You know, there's something that happened to me, and I did it to my kids, and my kids did it to their kids. Now it's your turn. There's no positivity in getting drunk, to just get drunk, y'all. I'm telling you, there's no positive side into that. I don't see that. You know, and for family members to push, that really makes it a bad thing. I just thought I'd share that with you, and you know, because, if we want, if we really do want change, and we believe in change, then though that's one of the things that need to actually change. Our so-called initiation into families without alcohol that drinks. If you want to initiate somebody into a family, teach them the family, what the family tree. You know, let them know what the history of the family is, the both positive and negatives. Not to sit there and see how drunk you can get them, so you can say they can drink with me anytime. You can go out and just get pissy drunk. That's all I'm saying. But anyway, that's just another tidbit I thought I'd drop in there. I know that some of y'all probably don't even matter, but to me it really did. Because I'm sure some of y'all have been in that situation as well. Okay, well, before we get a little further, let me give a couple of shout-outs here. Bible Truth by Benny in the house. What's up, Benny? Thank you for joining us. My guest in the chat room, thank you. And of course, Miss DP in the house. Hey, you. Okay. All right. Anyway, so with all that being said, we're going to go on and move on with the rest of the show. Hey, house rules are like this. And I said, I'm not going to read them all out. I just can't. They keep staring me in the eyeballs, so I'm going to say it. When you call it this show, act as an adult, okay? All right. That's all we're going to say, and we're going to leave it at that. All right. Now, the quote of the day is a good one, because y'all know we do the quote of the day and the song of the day. And, you know, here it is. Most people would rather be certain they are miserable than risk being happy. And that's by Mr. Robert Anthony. Wow. Most people would rather be certain they are miserable than risk being happy. And that is such a true quote right there. That is so true. There's a lot of people, they love being miserable. They prefer to be miserable than to go out there and try and do anything that's going to make them happy. Anything that's going to set them up against the status quo, per se, I guess you can say that. You know, if they're miserable wherever they are, and there's something right around the corner that's going to make them happy, you know, they prefer to stay right there instead of taking that step toward that corner, around the corner, to the goals, the sights that's going to make them happy. Even though they know they're miserable. They're miserable. I mean, just downright to the point where they're depressed and don't see an end out of nowhere. Only thing they have to do is take that one step around the corner. One step. And happiness is right there looking for you. But some of us are just some of us are just so settled is a good word. Some of us would just rather be miserable. Because that's what we know. That's the only thing we've ever had been is miserable. So some of you just want to be so miserable, just want to remain miserable because that's the way you think you should be. Well, here's a newsflash, y'all. Nobody is meant to be miserable. No one. No one. You understand what I'm saying? No. Especially when, you know, it just takes a little bit to be happy. Just a little bit to be happy. That's all. You know, and a lot of times, you know, you're looking for someone else to make you happy when to be honest, the truth with you is no one can make you happy. No one else can make you happy. You're the only one who can make you happy. You know, stop looking for others to make you happy when happiness is within yourself. That's what happiness is. But some of us, we so stuck on trying to please everybody else till we just rather be miserable and be liked by other people or be a part of the group, the popular group, or a group that's looked upon as the party people or, you know, the in crowd. But you're miserable. That's not what you want. You're not happy like that. You're not. When happiness is within you, Take a step away from that group. Take a step away from that situation that you're in. And you'll be surprised how your emotions change, how happiness will find you. Because it's there all the time long. It is. You know, it's not like it went anywhere. No, you just fail to look within yourself and find it. I know some of y'all think I'm talking out the side of my neck. Yeah, I know I've been gone, what have you, but I'm just putting it out there for you. You know, stop being happy with being miserable. Stop it. That's all I'm going to say on that. Once again, the quote of the day says, most people would rather be certain that they are miserable than risk being happy. And that's all I'm going to say about that. So if you want to continue to be miserable, then that's what you want to do. You know, and you know, sometimes, I know I said I was going to leave it alone, but I can't. Things keep going through the mind. You know, sometimes we let so many things get stuck. You know, as the country folks say, get stuck in our claw. We let so much get stuck in our claw to where it just, we let it rob our happiness. Now, whether you want to hang out with the popular crowd or whatever, hey, that's on you. Because there will come a time to where you have to say, you know, why am I so miserable? You know? You know, some people are, what can I do? You know, there's a show come on radio around here called, what is it? By Keith Sweat. There's a little show come on where people call in and they asking Keith Sweat, you know, for advice and doing, you know, saying they need to apologize and that, and that, and that. I mean, that's good for entertainment purposes. It really is. But in a lot of instances, first thing out, why are they calling and telling this man their problems? And you know, it's simple things. It's simple things. Things, if they sit down and put more energy into looking within themselves, they can answer the question. Now, they wouldn't be miserable. That's for dang on sure. But sometimes we forget to take that time out to sit down and look within ourselves. Oh, there's a whole lot of happiness within ourselves if we take the time to look and let it come out. But some of us are scared to be happy. Yeah, let's go and put it out there. Some of us are very, very frightened of being happy, you know, or being able to laugh and smile and giggle. Some of us are really, really scared about that, you know, because you've been miserable for so long, you scared somebody not going to like you. Oh, Lord. I'm just putting it out there, y'all. I'm putting it as it's coming to my head, okay? I don't know where it's coming from. It's just coming, and it's told me. You know, the bottom line is, no one can make you happy. Only you can make yourself happy. And if you remember that, man, all that miserable, all you this miserable stuff you're going through, a lot of times it go away. It will go away, okay? That's all I'm going to say. That's all I'm going to say about that. Okay, I know I said that a few minutes ago, but I just had to. Yes, y'all, I miss being on the air. I miss talking to y'all and seeing y'all out there. Ebony, how you doing, darling? I see you. You know what I mean? So, anyway, that's my take on the quote of the day anyway. You know, just remember, you want to be happy? Look at yourself. Don't look for anybody else to make you happy, because if you're always looking for the next person to make you happy, man, you'll be miserable for real for a long time. Happiness is within, comes from within, not from the outside. All right? Okay. Now, the song of the day, man, is, oh, man, I'm telling you. And I'll be honest, you know, I was watching a movie, and at the end of this movie, this young lady got up and sang this song. And look, this song touched me so much to it gave me goosebumps. You know, if you really listen to the words and what she's saying, man, you'd be like, wow, wow. And you know, it's to the point where some people need to actually listen and pay attention to this, because it's a deep song. It really is. So without further ado, we're going to go on and knock out the song of the day. And here it is, y'all. See y'all. in about 5 minutes.
Yeah.
All right, y'all. And that was the song of the day. Here Is Where I Stand by Miss Tiffany Taylor. I'm telling you, man, that is a, oof, my goodness, that is a strong song right there. I don't know how y'all felt about it, but I'm telling you, oh, man, that song like just talks to me a little bit, man. I mean, it's really just like, whoo, my goodness, that is a deep song. Hey, Antoinette, I see you out there. Thank you for joining us. All Facts, I see y'all, so, oh, man, I'm telling you. All right, y'all, so, let's see. Where we going now? It's time for the rest of the show, man. I'm telling you. Here it is. Hey, this is Let's Talk on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Mr. Talk. You want to get into a conversation today? We're going to be talking about, do we really want change? Give me a call, 347-838-8622. Email me, ericletstalk@gmail.com. Or you stop by that Facebook page, Let's Talk with Eric Jackson at facebook.com. And, we could get some things going right there. You know what I mean? Yeah. Because it's about time to rock and roll, y'all. We done had the song of the day, and we done had the quote of the day. So you know what? Let's get on with the topic of the day. Yeah, you know, I have subtopics, then we have the main topic, and then we have all that other stuff, right? Right. Well, with that being said, let's get it on. All right, y'all. Today we ask the question, do we really want change? Do we really want change? Wow. You know, although there has been a lot of recent dialogue about so-called racism in the United States and does it exist and how bad is it and what can we do and so forth and so on and what are we going to do and the Stand Your Ground law and so forth and so on, all that. Yeah, we've had all that recently, right? All right, so what? Now that all the cameras and hoopla is over, you know, everything has died down a little bit. You know, of course, every time there's a shooting or something that involves a white cop and a black person or just a shooting period involving police, everybody's up in arms lately about it, and it's interesting. It really is. But you know, the hoopla is over now. You know, oh, and I hate to say this. You know, the race baiters, you know, they done calmed down. You know, they choosing another whatever case they're going to get involved in and all that good stuff all over again. Cameras are gone. You understand what I'm saying? The hoopla is over. So what are we going, you know, what are we doing to change the way we as black Americans are portrayed? Huh? What are we doing? We already know how people see us, right? You know, we're no longer in the so-called media eye spotlight. There's other things going on. You know, and we got up there and we fussed and we did things on social media and blacked out this and put this as a symbol and some of them walked around in his hoodies. Even Steve Harvey changed the name of his show that he has every year from the Hoodie Awards to the Neighborhood Awards. Why? And what is that going to do? Huh? What is that really going to do? Change? You changed the name, okay. Or some going to say, well, he changed it out of respect. What? He should have left for the Hoodie Awards. You know, but anyway. We just happy to settle back into our roles as what, you know, what everybody else portrays, I mean, actually sees us as. Are we ready to get back into our roles as the perceived super athlete, the super entertainer who can sing and dance and act no matter what? You know, are we ready to get back into roles of gang members, you know, go back into our neighborhoods and get back into our gangs and shoot up each other and kill each other? What about being perceived as that money-hungry mega church preacher, you know, that's on TV every Sunday, every night on TVN, in a fancy suit, you know, up there preaching and sweating and, you know, looking all good, you know, got this big old mega church, you know, you requesting tens of thousands of dollars to come speak at someone's church? Are we happy to go back to those roles now? Is that what we really want? Is that what we really want? Or are we really prepared to put in the work needed to start the change process? But not only in the country, not just in Trump, but in our daily lives, y'all. In our everyday lives. Yeah, those two, Benny. TD Jason Cleto Dollar. Yeah, those two, Benny. And there's a whole lot of other ones out there as well. You know, aren't we? Have we started? Because in a lot of instances, no one has done it. And as I was giving the example at the beginning of the show, are we educating our children about what it takes to make this so-called change happen? Are we educating our children? But before we get educated our children, what about have we educated ourselves yet? What are we doing to help make this so-called change happen? What are we doing? And those are just some of the things we're going to be talking about today. And I'm telling you, I hope y'all ready for it. You know, there's no need to be around the bush. You know, no need to tap dance or what have you, because that's what we're going to be talking about. So I hope y'all ready. Cause I'm ready. I'm telling you, I'm hyped. I'm getting there. I'm telling you, we about to throw some things out there. So your lines are open. If you want to join in, give me a call. 347-838-8622. Let's talk, y'all. Let's talk. Let me bring Miss Ebony Empress in, and so she can help me. Good evening, Miss Ebony. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. You sound a little stopped up there. You okay?
Yeah, I got a cold. I've got a cold, and I'm doing a show tonight. Can you believe? I've had flu for the last couple of days. But you know what? I'm recovering, so I'm trying to stay active and not give in to the pain. You know how it is. But I caught a bit of a cold. Our weather's kind of gone down. You know, when the weather changes, then that's when all the bugs get into the air. So I have to catch a bug, but that's life. It's life. Gives me a couple of days rest.
It is.
Yeah, definitely. Mm. So how are you? And I'm hearing your conversation. I think it's a good topic. I think probably we're thinking about the same things this week, because the show I'm doing tonight is a bit about change, a bit like change that people could consider if they want to go down that route. But I think change is much easier to talk about than actually break or to happen or for people to really put themselves in the way of change is a far greater challenge than talking about it. So we all talk about things we want to happen, what we'd like to see, and it almost becomes a glorified wish list, right, of things I want to see happen, things, changes I want to see in my world. But how many people are really willing to put their neck on the line to see those changes happen and see it through and not just ride the hype? Because that's what you've had with the Trayvon March, in case you've had a lot of people riding the hype of that conversation.
Correct.
Now it's no longer the exciting story of the day. Now what happens? Now changes are we actually going to affect? You're absolutely right, in our communities. Or are we still just going to see it as, oh, well, you know, that was one thing. Now let's move to the next thing, because that's what people do. Move on very quickly to what was the hype. Because, you know, most of us are riding the hype. I wasn't one of those people who really wanted to spend a lot of time talking about that case on BTR, although I know everybody felt they needed to go in that direction. And exactly for that reason, that I knew it'd be a hype. And when the we have not moved forward. So that's my feeling.
That is so true.
I want to see movement. I want to see people do something. I want us to stop talking and start acting. And acting may be that in your local area, you need to, go out and galvanize your community. It needs to not just be one protest, isolated protest. People need to be continuously lobbying the people that make decisions to ensure that we get fairness and equality. And you can't just stop at, when you one little protest and then go quiet once that's over, because it's just the way that we are so easily bought and sold in this society. As soon as we hear, Obama said something, there have been something, some little bit of movement, we just back off and we leave it. And the reason why we do is because, you know, we're kind of brought off into that conversation of, well, maybe nothing can be done anyway, but at least we said something. Right.
Boy, I tell you, you said a whole mouthful of that, Ebony. Yeah. And you know what? You are absolutely correct. You me and you right on the same wavelength on this thing. And yeah. that is for sure. Hold on, let me bring Pianki in. I think Joey in on the conversation.
Okay.
So
Pianki, you there? So that old heavy breathing.
I don't even understand what she said.
Oh boy.
You can understand it?
Where have you been?
Okay.
Hey, Joe, what's going on, man?
Hey, Frankie.
Hi,
you noticed that, you noticed that Eric was missing in action for a while, so I hope everything is okay, seriously, but where have you been?
Well, I guess you didn't get the memo, huh?
No, sure didn't.
No. Yeah, see, I know it, but it's okay. I'm back now, so we
all
good.
Right, okay.
I had to do some upgrades and do some things, Joe. But I'm back now, so we good.
All right.
So
I just want to let you know I'm ready to change shows and host anytime. I'm so loyal.
Oh, wow. I want to ask Pianki what he didn't understand.
I didn't understand what you said.
Oh, right. Am I speaking French today? Okay. What I was trying to say, I don't know. Maybe I should try it. Maybe English checks. What I was trying to say is that a lot of people have been talking about change, particularly around the Trayvon Martin case. So, you know, particularly when it was high on the agenda, a lot of people were talking about what should be done, what they would do, you know, the whole list of things that needed to. Now it's not such a big story. I don't see action happening. That's what I was talking about. I was saying, you know, we want to do less riding the hype stuff and be more active and proactive when there are cases that show up like that.
Well, you always got some people out there who are hollering racism and so on and so on. And what they would do, they should, if they was in that case, they should run. Simple as that.
Yeah. So I wonder, should we not now move towards change? Or do we just accept that conversation's over? Let's see what happens now.
Well, the next campaign will be a platform of change like Obama.
Been that way ever since the beginning of elections, ever since political history. I mean, that's the way that it is. It doesn't matter if it was Obama or not. Anytime and you have time for elections, the incumbent is always going to say, vote for me. I am the status quo. And then the guy who is the challenger is always going to say, change, because we got to get rid of the status quo. So it's always going to be that. So for people who have thought that change was such a miracle word, you know, I always felt, well, okay.
But if my voice changed from where it is now to that of a cow, I had cow peas at a Vietnamese restaurant for lunch, so don't pay no attention to me.
But let's not get as far as the politicians. What about within our own little circles? You know, do we really want change there? You know, I was looking at something the other day, and it was a documentary on the so-called American Dream. You know what I mean? And that really got me to thinking a little bit. You know, everybody chasing the so-called American Dream, which, heck, I don't think no one really knows what the American Dream is anymore anyway, if there ever was one. And number two, you know, what are we doing to help change, to start change locally, you know, within our own little circles? Not nationally, because we already know, you know, you got to have money for that, but locally, within our own selves, how can we do this change thing and make sure, like me and both Ebony have said earlier, you know, all the cameras are gone now, and the hoopla is over, you know, the race baiters, wherever they are, planning their next major event or what have you. But what about now? you know, are we happy with just going back to being a part of the status quo as we were the whole time? Or are we ready to actually put in some work
or non-politics?
Huh?
You're talking about politics or non-politics?
Right now I'm talking non-politics.
Non-politics? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I always believe that one of the crux of my arguments within making relationships work was that a person himself or herself should change. If we know that we have deficiencies and we are annoying our wives or husbands, and we're not willing to change that, then we're partially responsible for the downfall of our own relationship. So change is something that, you know, you have to do in order to get to the goal. I went to a business meeting yesterday, and that's what I was talking about with these two people.
All right. Which two people?
Yeah, which two people?
Two people that I had a business meeting with. I was talking to them about they wanted to increase sales, right? So I said, in order for you to increase sales, you have to change what you're doing now. Now, it seems simple, but people don't do that. So that was the crux of my meeting with them. Change is important. You know, you can't – people don't like change. But if you do it to yourselves as opposed to having people do it to you, you can certainly swallow that castor oil a lot better than waiting for somebody to, you know, to do it to you by force or by – decree.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, that's kind of what I'm saying, right? Are we just happy with being a part of the status quo right now? You know, just, you know, whatever is, you know, if we have to change, we're going to fight it all the way. We know you're worth, you know, we don't really want change. We give good lip service, put it that way. You know, we give that good lip service as far as, you know, yeah, we want change. You know, we out there holding our signs or whatever. But behind closed doors, you know, it's like, do we really want to be bothered with this? Nah. You know, then we start picking at it and, well, this really is not as good as it seems and so forth and so on. Then we right back to where we started at all over again until the next major whatever happens, you know, everybody's up in arms again yelling about change. Now, you're right, Joe. One thing, you're right. Everybody, you know, you're right about as far as politicians, every time they come in, you know, that's the first thing to yell. You know, I'm ready. We're going to bring a new change. But, you know, it's back to the same old routine. Now, you know, it's another thing to where when you bring it down to a local level or on the individual, it's basically the same thing. How many of us made promises before, say, I'm going to change this, change that, and we, for, you know, a short amount of time, you go out there and you change, so you think you've changed it, but over a period of time, you fall right back into that same old routine, and it's, you know, and you just gone on over again.
Yeah, how many times have we heard, honey, I'll change?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I hope you change your underwear regularly.
If that, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, really.
You look mad.
Really?
You look mad. Well, I suppose
you know what
change, that may be someone talking about change for change's sake. If you actually want to change something, you've got to back to create a goal behind that change where you systematically almost ticking off things that you'll do towards making a change in that area. You know, it's like, you know, something like fitness, or, you know, if you want to improve your fitness, you might say, I want to make a change from being a couch potato to being someone super fit. How do you do that? You have to have a goal in mind that sets you some milestones to get into that point where you will make a change, you will effect a change. But you've got to go through a process which takes you through certain hoops to get you to that point where something changes from something it was to something it is. So it's always got to be backed up with the, you know, with the process of action. And with that, actions, you affect something which is change. And the change may be to be a slim, fit person who's healthy and isn't a couch potato anymore, but it's a process. It will never be just saying something and then hoping it will happen.
Yeah, most people change, though, when they're at the point of pain. That's not the point where people should change. People should change when they see that the pain is going to come in the future. And in order to avoid it, you should start changing now. But people don't do that.
But I think you've got to be a bit more of a visionary to kind of to have that maturity to see stuff and take the move. It's like when you're at work, right? And you start seeing a spate of redundancies. I was this about 5 years ago. And one area started to change in the organization where people are getting their papers. Now, the other people didn't get their papers, all watched, sat back and observed, okay? Some people saw it as the opportunity to start looking at what else can I do and seeing it, right, okay, it's happened there, it's going to get round to me at some point. Other people waited until it was right on their case or until it happened to them before they made the move. I was one of the people, I just said, right, I'm ready to go. I didn't wait. And then 2 years later, 3 years later, I'm getting people calling me from the same organization who observed what was happening and were waiting, hoping it would never happen to them. Call me and say, what was it like for you? How did you move that quickly? And why do you, because I don't know if I move, although I know it's coming, right? So, that, you know, some people are under pressure to make a change, but they still won't make a change until they really have to. And it's always under duress in those cases. But, you know, to take change, to make a change before it actually comes to that point, you've got to be a bit more of a visionary. You've got to see the future almost before it comes to that point. Yeah, take the hint.
Yeah. So do you find that works out with your fiancé, the person you're contemplating or marrying, Empress?
I'm not sure how that what do you mean in that sense? How would what I
have
just said fit into that?
Have you had the face change with him or he with you?
Oh,
leading
yeah.
up to this so, moment.
All right, okay. So what I've had to do is to look at things like the fact that we live miles apart for half of the year. So in terms of looking at how the relationship moves forward, we've had to look at the impact of that and how do we bring both our worlds together and how do we sustain the relationship beyond those periods of separation. So in terms of looking at the overall plan, that's one of the things that we've had to discuss. And it does require some vision because, you know, the Bible says, and I hate to quote the Bible for those who don't believe, like maybe you and Joe, but, you know, without vision, the people perish. And it's absolutely true because the vision is seeing what the potentials could be in the future, acting now to make sure that you can avoid what you can in terms of, you know, curved balls. So, you know, it means that I plan now to maybe shift make a change for me. So be prepared to travel, you know, to meet that person halfway, not just sit where I am and hope that he will keep coming to me, but also be prepared to move out of my space and do something more flexibly. That's part of accepting that in accepting that relationship, it means that there's some changes that I need to make. So, you know, yeah, I suppose it's, in that sense, is absolutely right. But some people may go, right, I'll go for a long-distance relationship, right? But they're not prepared to move. They're not prepared to actually take a trip to the other part of the world. Yet they'll want to have a conversation with someone long-distance. It's like, why would you talk to that person when you know you're never, ever going to really step out of your boundaries to meet that person halfway?
Oh, it's called old-fashioned pen pal.
You've got to meet it halfway. Yeah.
I mean, many relationships are established from pen pals. How about the person who's in prison?
Okay, wait a minute. Before we go down the wrong road, we're not talking about, we really don't want to get a relationship part right now, okay? So we're gonna put that down
yet.
Right before.
Wait okay? Until 10 o'clock when we're talking about something else.
Yeah. Yeah, because, you know, Pianki, okay, we're going to go with your pen pal scenario. So we can write all the letters we want. you know, to the, our congressmen or to the local city council. But if we're not out there, you know, helping invoke the change, what good is that doing?
Well, I take it like this. If I got you struggling, if I got you sweating, and I've got you bleeding, I'm not going to change. I'm going to keep you like that.
So what do you mean by that?
So, I'd also like to make note before things change here how cool, calm, and harmonious this relationship is on this show is right now.
Yeah, because that one woman ain't here.
Well, not just her. I just want to make that note that everything is nice and cool and calm.
Yeah, I'm about to fall asleep.
That's okay.
Whatever. Yeah, it's
well,
okay.
It,
that
you can all
change.
We act civilized.
No. Yeah, we can actually talk amongst each other.
So you guys, how do you make a change for with stuff, and it doesn't have to be relationships, but how do you make a change for yourselves when you see something in your life that needs adjustment, that needs to change from the way it is to something that works more for maybe yourself or someone else? How do you do that?
Well, now I just do it. When I was younger, I didn't necessarily see that I had certain deficiencies or certain flaws, but now that I have adjusted to them, not adjusted to them, but adjusted them, got rid of them, then now that I see something that I don't like within myself or within an environment, if I can change, I just do it because now it's part of what I do. Part of what
I do. Sometimes when you're dealing with children, as they get older, become adolescents and teenagers, then you have to, of course, make changes. The things that you used to do and say that would keep them at bay when they was young, you can't use that no more. You have to communicate with them in a little different manner.
Mm-hmm. So
but
age
you know
is
what?
A trigger.
You know,
are you saying
and,
age is a trigger?
Oh, go ahead.
No, age, I was saying, is he saying age is a trigger?
Oh, you're asking, okay.
Yeah.
Age is a trigger when you're the older person and the younger one is getting older, moving in two different phases of their life. Yes, quite natural.
Yeah.
So you have to make changes in order to adapt to where they have progress to. You can't continue to say nursery rhyme jingles to someone that's 16, 18 years old.
Oh, yeah. That is true. Okay.
What about you, Eric, without, or Ebony, without revealing too much of whatever it is you want to keep private? How do you two deal with change, if you do?
Well,
Eric, you're first.
thank you. As far as me, you know, I want to go back to something Joe said. First, before you can change, anything about yourself, first you have to realize or acknowledge, because you can always realize it, but you have to acknowledge that there is a deficiency somewhere. There is something that needs to be changed.
Mm-hmm.
Now, once that is done, then it's more or less you have to, I work through it, and if I say, okay, I'm going to do, like now, I'm back to working out like I used to. And, it's just, once you say, okay, I need to do this, it's something that you have to continually work on. Because, if you really want to make a true change, you just can't do it for a little bit and say, okay, I'm good. Because it has to become a habit. It has to become a routine. And I think that's where a lot of people, get messed up at as far as changing, anything. They just do it for a certain ride and they think it's good. And, then they just fall off. Changes always work. To me, that's the way I look at it. You always have to work out changing. You just can't say I'm going to change and just leave it at that. As far as working out, You know, now I'm back in the gym working out at home. You know, and that's the other thing. You have to really want to change anything, you know, anything you do. And, you know, I know we're talking about individuals, but that's part of what I'm talking about. You know, before we can go out there and help our neighborhoods or, you know, our neighbors, whatever, we have to make sure that we have actually changed ourselves to make us better people, to go out there and enlighten others as far as what, you know, is really going on and how together we can make a change. So basically, Joe, how I do it is I recognize what my problem is and I work hard on changing it. That's how I do it. It's just a constant, growing curve.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. I think change, the noun for change is the act or instance of making or becoming different. So how do you become different? And that is what change is about, trying to make something different from what it was in the beginning. And I think for me, I've kind of been on a journey for maybe about 10 years now where I try to completely work against the kind of person I thought maybe I was previously. So it's taken me about 10 years to do a lot of self-development, and that was sort of really becoming very kind of internal, looking at myself, the help of somebody, really a coach and stuff, volunteering, doing work with young people, doing a lot of work in the community, and that's all been part of my own personal change to being, I think, maybe a little bit more enlightened about life and particularly about myself, what I want and how I want to shape my own world. So I think change takes time, and, you know, everybody tries to effect their own change in their own way, but for me, I can only talk for me, it has taken me a long time to be the person I am right now. And I don't think I'm the finished article. I still think it's continuous work, looking at the things that come up, you know, for you. Even, I guess, in relationships, that's where they come up most. You know, things from the past, you know, how you deal with stuff, it comes up. Because you never eliminate it. Because you live so long, you amass all these things. But you never get rid of them. What you do is learn to deal with them when they come up. And that's what makes a difference. You being able to recognize when you're being something that isn't helpful to you and what you do to yourself.
So. Outstanding. I like that. Hold on. Let me bring somebody else in. Someone else has their hand up. Let's see if they want to get a piece of this conversation. All right. 111, you're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Hello, Mr. Talk. Ebony.
Hello, Maze. How are you doing?
There it is.
Oh, okay. Lord.
What you have on the Lord for? You don't
guys,
even
oh Lord,
it lasts long.
Maze hasn't even said the same, did anything. So go ahead, Maze. Go ahead and put yours in.
Why don't they change and listen sometimes?
Talking about change. Talk about change. You really got it now.
Just because what you have at home, you can't do it on the internet. Make it a change. You can't have your way there. Here. Okay, Bianca? But anyway, to talk about change, Mr. Talk, what kind of change you're talking about? The American people that's afraid of change? Because a lot of times people are afraid of change because they don't want to see what's going to happen. Sometimes it's for the good and sometimes it's for the bad. But if you don't let it work and watch to see what's going to happen, you'll never know and you're always going to fight it.
Well, you know what, Maze? You have said a whole lot there. You made sense. And, but you know what, Maze, that is good, and it starts within yourself, you know what I mean? You just, you know, just like you say, you know, you got to go work with yourself. But you know what, Maze, I like that. Enlighten us more on what you think about change as far as the end of it. What do you do to make sure that things you want to change in your life is actually implemented and not just something you're talking about?
Because I'm not afraid of it, and I like to see different things. When you like to see something different, when you're looking at the same old thing over and over and over again, and you should try it and test it to see if it's going to be good or bad. Then you have the opportunity to make or say you like it or you don't.
That's what I heard.
If you're going to destroy it when it's being implemented, you'll never know what it was.
That's what her husband said, Joe.
Whatever you say, my husband said, Pianke.
Leave Hayes alone.
I don't have time for you.
Leave Hayes alone.
Pianke.
All right.
Come on, guys.
I think that's what's wrong with the rural. It's change coming, and most people are not ready to accept it. If you learn about the things you don't like, you might get a little farther down the road than to be stressed out complaining about what somebody else said. Check your own heart first before you go try to check somebody else. To see how many people you know and how much change you need to do within yourself to see within those people that don't look or act like you. That's how I see change. And that's how I've always been, because I'm curious about everybody. Just like Pianca went to Africa and married his wife. You probably a long time ago had some crazy idea about Africa. It was just all woods and wasn't nothing else out there but just dirt and water. But he had the opportunity to go and see something different. And that was a change, to leave this country and go see something in somebody else's country that's different from yours. Because something different is something changed. Because it's not what you're used to seeing every day.
You said something different is something change. I can't agree with that. Those are two separate things.
I'm saying if you go to somebody else's country, you've been in yours all your life. You never left until, say, you turned 30 years old and you left and you went to somebody else's country. It never changed for you?
No, it's different, but I wouldn't say
it's a change.
I don't think,
because you can't get everybody to leave. Some won't leave. They won't stay right in that same spot.
Okay.
Well, they do say that a lot of Americans never travel outside of the U.S. They travel internally, but they never travel outside of the U.S. And
some
I know
never travel
the
outside
US,
of their state.
Yeah.
Some of them don't travel outside of the damn neighborhood.
Yeah.
Yes, that is so true. I know quite a few people like that. Yeah.
And some don't travel outside of their religion either. That's part of the problem of change. They want to look at somebody else's religion as something bad, but they want to look at their religion as the best thing that's going, but you never stop to look at somebody else's to see if it was different than yours or what you got in common with it.
So what kind of change or difference have you acknowledged or accepted about other people's political philosophies?
What have I done? Because I know people from all different countries, a lot of different countries, and I mingle with them to know the difference. I mean, a lot of stuff we had in common with, like I met somebody from Jamaica. A lot of things she did when she was young, I did when I was young, the very same thing. It was like we was in the same place, but we was in two different countries. So that's how life gets you to be above this craziness that we see, because change is coming when people combine together and work together, and people trying to stop it from happening, but it's not going to happen. It's going to happen, but the people that are trying to stop it, they've been fighting change for years and years and years, and it's going to come to a point where they can't do it anymore.
And
you're going to see people can combine together and flourish.
You know why? Why is it such why do people put up such a battle when it comes to change?
Because money is in some of it. That means they lose their pocket.
Not when it comes on the individual one, you yourself, or even, you know, say your neighborhood. You understand what I'm saying? Why? I hate that saying. I don't know why I keep slipping out. But anyway, why do we put up such a fight against change? It may not be a good thing for us. How about maybe we just don't understand what you said before, and we was afraid to take the time to find out and understand what's going on. Could that be your reason?
Yes.
Okay. I mean, because we all know, you know, certain things we all have put up a fight about as far as change, you know, until maybe we sat down and looked into it, or just said, oh, well, I might as well, everybody else doing it. Is that a good thing when it comes to change? Everybody else say, okay, everybody else doing that, I might as well go on and change too. You know, reluctantly change and find out later that it's a bad change? How do you fight that kind of change?
Well, first of all, you shouldn't do what everybody else do.
Yeah, you shouldn't be sheep. We're not
well,
made
you
to
don't,
be sheep.
That's when
you don't
go to
throw
the
your...
media. You got to look around what they tell you. If they tell you one thing, you do the opposite of what they got you doing.
When you buy them high heels, you don't throw your other shoes away.
No, I keep them just because I might reach back for them.
Yeah, because your feet start hurting.
I wear a size 6, so my feet don't hurt at all. Thank you. What else do you need to know, PR?
Okay. All right, well, we really didn't need to
do that.
I don't think he asked that question. Okay.
Sometimes you can wear a 6 and sometimes you can wear a 7.
Oh, dear.
I think he was using that as an analogy.
Okay.
Yeah.
But some change, Mr. Talk, is good change. Some change mm-hmm. is change for, you know, that makes things worse. It's not always a good thing to change. Sometimes it can make your life worse when you make a change. That's why you need to, you know, to look at why you're making that change, what the possible impact of that change could be, before you make a decision as to whether you want to go down that route, because it's not always a change that will affect good. Sometimes it, in the long term, it could be a very bad decision. So sometimes people say to go with your heart, but be sure that you know what your heart is telling you, because your heart is not your head either. It's your heart, okay? So your heart might say, actually, this is how I'm feeling. This sounds like a good thing. You know, my heart really feels like this is the right decision. But your head isn't engaged. So, you know, the heart is doing its own thing. The head needs to get engaged too. So you can look dispassionately at whatever it is you need to do.
Okay. Wow. Dang. I don't even know how to respond to that, Ebony. Wow. That was
but
kind of deep there.
The question should be, are you afraid of change, and why?
Well, Maze, are you afraid of change, and why?
No, I said I'm not afraid of change.
Oh, okay.
Oh, you're not afraid of change?
No.
So basically, what is it basically is simple. You're not afraid of any type of change whatsoever, Maze. So
no.
You embrace change. You embrace
yes.
change no matter what it is.
Yes, I do. If it's for the
no,
good.
No, no, no. Come on, Maze. I can't even let you go out like that.
Yeah,
what
do you
maybe
mean?
Explain
to me.
Maybe she'll vote for a Tea Party member.
What? I'm not voting for a Tea Party member.
But wait a minute.
Tea Party been here before, and I know what they have done. So why am I going to go vote for a Tea Party member? Because somebody said I need to?
No, they
no.
really
but wait a minute,
eventually
wait a minute,
down the road,
it
depends on
tea
the Tea Party.
Yeah.
Member. Hold up.
That
wait a minute,
out.
Folks. Wait a minute.
So
you two.
Change.
Wait a minute, you two. Wait a minute, you two, because I know y'all about to get started. We ain't going to let y'all get started today. Not yet, anyway. Anyway, let's get back to Maze. Maze, so whatever change comes, no matter what it is, you embrace it and accept it, and you're happy with that.
Yes, I am, if it's for the good.
Pianki, you notice how
okay.
Eric changes when a woman is about to be, in his mind, attacked, how he becomes the white knight
we're
in
not,
shining armor?
We're not
yeah,
talking about, we're talking about people.
You know, okay.
Well,
he
honestly,
never does that for
I'm not
for
trying. Him. I'm not trying to be a knight. You know what I'm trying to do? I don't want to hear it today, okay? Pretty much what
we
it is.
We
so
had a
lot of
conversation going on.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Sure, Eric.
Now. Yeah, whatever. All right, keep on. Just keep on. Anyway, because Maze is saying some interesting things, and I can't believe that she... Okay, wait a minute. I guess basically what we're saying, Maze, is if you have researched it and find out that it's a good thing, then you embrace change. You just
yes,
don't
I
go
do.
Out and somebody walk in and just say, let's change this, and I want to do this, and in the community, in my neighborhood, you know, we got this new block commander, and they want to invoke some, you know, new lawn measures to make sure everybody's yard look the same, and, you know, you don't just say, okay, I'm with that.
No,
you.
I have to go and research and look at it.
You know, that's
how
we caught that Winchester.
If it's going to be good for the community, sure. But if you got some slicks over there want to come and do it just to make some money, and the people don't know nothing about it, or I don't know nothing about it, and I find out that it is, it's a no-no. That change, we don't. If it's a change for the good, I'm with it. And you can always look out for something that's good. And then, but you got people still fighting against good. I don't really see them fighting against nothing evil. They're always fighting against something good. But they don't know it's good because they haven't really looked
well,
at it.
Well, good and
they're
bad is
subjective.
Good and bad is subjective.
Okay, so let me go on and put it on out there. So how do we as black folk change the get the positive change to the image that we are portrayed as in this country?
Tell them how to do that, Joe.
You know, how do we do that?
How do we accept change? How do we adapt to it? How do we perceive it?
How do black people accept the image that we are under, which is not our image? Is the problem.
Joe can answer that better than any of us can.
That's
tell
why I was waiting for him to answer. He didn't hear the question.
Oh, really?
How can black people accept, say it one more time.
Okay, look. Okay, no. Here's it. How can black people change the image that they are portrayed as in this country?
Oh.
Because right now, nine times out of ten, it's really not a positive image if you really look at it, besides the regular stereotypical type of, things.
Well,
you know, athletes, entertainers, members.
Right.
But by whose perspective is that? If you're not around that, you don't see that. So that's not the image of black people.
Well, you can vote
if
for
you're around lawyers,
May.
Doctors, and nurses, May. And all those kind of people,
May.
That's
May.
The image of who you are. Not some image somebody done created and gave to you and told you that's what you should look at.
You can
really
vote for Libertarian or Tea Party.
That's the political thing. But in order to change the image that a white person immediately sees when they see a black person, that's going to have to come from a deep cultural change. Deep.
The image that you see in those football players, you got that image in everybody. If people start looking at that image in one group of people and look at it all around, it's in all of them. That same image that you're speaking of.
So what kind of image do you think white people have of black people, and why do you think that's either true or false?
That's for you to tell me.
Well, that ain't
the
question
you have.
Eric asked. He asked, what do we need to do to change? And I said, Joe could tell you that better than you can.
Yeah, I can get there.
Yeah, he said that we would need to come from some deep cultural changes.
It has to come from a deep cultural change. It has to have the same type of attitude that the Chinese and the Jews have. You have to stress to your kids, excel. Excel in school.
Yo, you sound like they dumb. All kids that look like us are not dumb.
Talking about
so
somebody needs to change.
Why you going to tell the one that's excelling school that's already doing it? How you going to tell them that? And then when you go look at some people in Appalachia, the same way that the people that you
same
have.
Way. Same
how,
thing.
What do you
people
tell them?
In Appalachia, they have to tell their
that
kids.
Ain't that ain't the question.
Same thing.
The question
I'm telling
is
you what's wrong, Bianca.
Talk,
the image
Mr. Talk asks how
the
black people.
In every...
How do black people, what must black people do to make their image that others have about them change?
What kind
and
of image
Joe
are you describing, Pionke? Explain the image. I didn't ask the question. I repeated the question
that Mr. Talk asked.
I just put out the image out there. Images I'm talking about there. Besides the regular stereotypical type images that, you know, most of white America or America sees as black folk. How do we change it to make it a more positive image?
Yeah.
When they get rid of their image, too. That's how
your name, Joe.
The same image. Oh, okay, Joe.
It was so quiet about a half hour ago.
I called in.
Tell me.
Hold on. Let me bring Lowe in.
Okay, there's the other one. There it goes all together now.
All right, Mr. Lowe. Welcome to the show, man.
Shalom, brothers and sisters. How y'all doing?
Shalom, shalom.
Shalom will be it.
A little bit.
All right.
Mazes,
so what you got on the subject today?
I'm just standing back listening. Mazes actually makes some good points. Whether people want to accept it or not, she makes some good points.
That's the change they want to accept.
Right.
That's what I'm saying. The image that people give us is the change that we have to make, that everybody else do the same thing, but it's not an image to nobody on one group of people. When you take the image out of the eyes of them and they look at themselves in the mirror and they see the same thing, like you say, the rappers, that all the people that you name is in every denomination.
Well, I guess everybody should wear a hoodie.
Well, they do wear hoodies.
Wait a minute. Wait.
Hold on. Don't get foolish now, man. You got more white boys. Matter of fact, I'll tell you what I saw just the other day. I'm at the gas station pumping my gas. You got a white boy there. Music as loud as can be. Pants hanging off his ass. Every other word coming out of the radio is N-word this and N-word that. He turned around and smiled. Got 50 gold teeth in his mouth. So, I mean, come on now. The clothing or whatever, that has nothing to do with anything. You know, I would judge
and
a man.
And the school don't either.
The character. You know.
But we don't
and,
need
and, Let's be honest.
You know what? Instead of having what's gonna might turn into discussion, which could turn into a let's say
poop
a
and
heated discussion. Whatever.
No, it's not gonna turn into that. It's gonna turn into a mouth.
It was so quiet a half hour ago, Joe.
Whatever you do.
Well, let me ask a question then. Since it was so quiet, I mean, what you wanna do? You wanna lay on the couch and listen to the birds or something, or you wanna talk on the radio with people? What you wanna do?
We were trying to answer the host's question.
Uh-huh.
And Joe said that what we need to tell our children is to get to go to school, listen and learn. Joe, have you been in the classroom?
I really don't know what Joe said. It seemed like every time he opened his mouth, he was cut off.
I'm trying to explain something to Joe, not you. Have you ever seen in a classroom where you got black kids? White
That's,
kids,
look, you
want to
find out?
Kids,
okay, I would think,
and they all doing the same thing.
I would
Mr.
Think,
Talk
oh,
asked a question,
mind.
And Joe was answering it. And every other word he said, he was cut off. I don't know what Joe said. I heard so much noise.
Well,
okay,
yourself,
all right, hold up, wait, stop, YouTube, but YouTube right there, boy. I tell you, y'all can't coexist for some reason. I don't know why. Hold on, Joe, go on and finish what you were beginning to say.
Okay. This is going to be a really serious topic, and here's my suggestion, that Eric, if you know some white supremacists, you bring them on the show, and you just ask them the questions, and let them really answer the questions for anybody else that wants to have an answer coming from people who have an impression about black people, okay? And you hear it straight from the horse's mouth instead of trying to determine whether or not what I'm saying makes sense or not. Okay? Have it for people that you know have the very distinct images of what black people look like in their mind. Otherwise, what we're going to do from this point on right now today, people are going to start having their particular opinions, and the other person is going to say, well, no, that's not right, and the other person is going to say, no, that's not right. I would suggest that would be a good topic for a show, by having, you know, white supremacists, skinheads, people like that. And if you really want to.
Well, they're out there on the internet every day. You can look them up and see all of the crazy stuff they do.
Then why ask me the question?
Because there was this young guy. He had the rebel flag. He was black, out of Carolina. This was maybe about 2 years ago. So he was on a show talking. And the host asked him, how did black people feel about him carrying that flag? He said, black people had no problem with it. He said, well, the white people had a problem with me carrying that flag. And my grandfather had one, and that's why I had one, and they think that I can't even walk around with it in my hand. So I'm saying, like, the rebel flag, some people look at it and see it as something different. But he sees it as something different to him, too.
Uh-huh.
So he was being punished for it, but he wasn't being punished by us.
Okay, that still doesn't answer the question about what is it that white people feel and think about black people.
Hold on, man. Joe, listen.
Well, be truthful with you. When black
women,
people
hold
see...
Up, hold up, Yankee. Hold up, Yankee. I think he got a delay. Go ahead.
When black people see a black man with a Confederate flag...
Okay, wait a minute. Hold on, wait a minute. All right, Lo, you need to get closer to your phone.
My phone is on my mouth.
Okay, well, you sound better now. Someone? I don't know what you were doing. What happened? You had your little coochie voice on or something? I don't know.
You
sounded like a little girl, man, but you sound better
now.
You're
about the wrong thing now.
Now, go ahead. Go ahead. Now, we can hear you now.
If you go and you get these white supremacists or whatever, I don't care what you do as a black person. You can go and get all the education that you need and go and get a great career and all of this. The only thing they'll say, oh, he got that because it was affirmative action. So either way it goes, they're going to have an excuse or a rebuttal to everything you do or however you try to succeed. So with that group of people, you're damned if you do or if you don't.
No, you got a point. Sure.
And the question I wonder is why they always we got to always be approval for them to approve of who we are.
Exactly.
Nobody never asked the question of why they got, why do we, if you ask somebody to explain, to tell what one of them look like, and if I describe the same thing Mr. Talk described, nobody has nothing to say. But then they're going to describe me like that. Perfect example.
The perfect example I can give you of that is from the very beginning, the Roman Catholic Church was looked upon as the spawn of Satan. And now, how can they be the authority in Christianity? That's the perfect example. They were looked upon as scum. And now they are the authority of Christianity. How does that work? How do you get a people that look down on everybody else, look down their nose at everybody else, and they're the ones that everybody should aspire to be like?
Well, that's simple. That's simple. The Christianity you know today, they created.
Mm-hmm. That's true. That is true.
So therefore, they consider themselves as a spine of it.
So then why you want to look down at yourself? Because somebody else trying to determine what you're supposed to be.
Who's looking down at themselves?
You? Because sometimes I don't think you like black people, Bianca. When you're down.
Well, you said people need to make a change, didn't you?
Well, I'm trying to help you.
There's some black folks I wouldn't want in my damn next door to me. You're damn right.
There's all kind of people I wouldn't want next door to me. Not only black people.
That's true.
Why is that, Pianki? Why is there some black people you wouldn't want to have next to you?
I don't have those experiences with all people.
What?
I say. I don't have those experiences with all people. There's some black folks I wouldn't want to live next to me.
Well, maybe that's the change you need to make.
It was a for rent sign on next door to one of my houses. Every night I pull that thing down, throw it in the trash.
Mm-hmm.
Man. So now you see what's wrong with him.
Okay. Now. You know what? I was trying to let y'all get to this point, but I'm going to put it out there and see what the theory, the thought process is on this one. But what happened to changing the image within our own communities first? What happened to that? I mean, I've heard everything from let somebody else tell us what they think of us and, all this other stuff y'all said, but what happened to changing our own image within our own community first? Is that an option? Would that be a viable option?
The image was never changed.
It's an option, but the male role models won't step up first.
Mm.
You have a lot of older men that refuse to take their place. I mean, everything starts with a man before all else. But you have men that's not willing to stand up and take their place first.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
You know, I've talked to older guys, and I'm like, well, why don't y'all try to talk to some of these younger guys? Man, you never know. They reach in their pocket and pull a pistol out and kill you. Well, that's why you carry your dumb ass to church every Sunday, supposedly. So you ready for that. So
that's
why
I carry my concealed weapon.
You want to go kill somebody, Pianca? You're just as bad as the people that you talk about.
No, it's for protection. Mm. Self-defense.
Self-protection?
But the moral is this. Like I say, you got to start with the older men willing to run that community. I mean, it's just they have to demand their respect. Now you got kids cussing in front of the older generation, cussing the older generation out, disrespecting them and everything. Mm-hmm. You didn't have that. You had it years ago.
That's what Joe said. It's going to take a deep culture change.
Yeah, Mm-hmm.
Mm. But, okay, like anything else, though, shouldn't that start at home?
I will agree. I will agree. One thing that hurts our community so much is babies having babies.
Mm.
That is
how's
probably
that? How,
the
how,
most
how
important
is that?
Thing.
Excuse me, how is that? How is baby having babies
and how is
in
that?
The community? Explain.
Wait a
minute. Maze, hold on. Let me, Maze. Oh, I can go from my own experience that I went off of before. I had a baby in high school.
How far back
did
you
go? 18.
No.
I had a child at 18, and I was 18 years and 1 month old when I had a baby. And
let me explain something to you,
Fionn. Let me finish.
Okay.
Let me finish.
And then we'll
now,
you get finished.
I was not in a position to take care of a baby. I wasn't in a position to take care of myself. I live with my parents. And be that as it may, I did pull up my bootstraps and went ahead and handled my business when I did get grown. But the fact remains that my child lost a lot in me and her mother because we were not adults when we had her. We didn't have settled minds when we were in our late teens, early 20s. Instead of staying home rearing this child together, I'm partying. She may be at home with the baby or at home or going out or something versus when you're an adult and you make the decision that adults make. Well, you know, I used to party and now, you know, I'm more responsible. I have a family and I don't care for that life anymore, blase, blase. Now you actually have a chance to do those things that you should do anyway.
Okay, now can I explain to you why I say that? You look back at Strom Thurmond's daughter. She never had her daddy. That was baby making, having babies by people who didn't know their fathers back then, even before you were born, even thought about. So they've been doing that ever since. How long? This is nothing new.
This is relatively
new. And no,
new.
They had no father to take care of them.
This
they
is relatively
children.
New, Maze. Back in the 40s and 50s, if you take a look at your own culture.
It was past the 40s and the 50s, too.
You had something like 84% of blacks were married, okay?
Really? They were married, but they were still having babies. Blacks having babies.
But you
babies,
had a father
that's
and
true,
a mother.
Joe.
They just saw
that's
the
not true, Packy? I thought it was.
That's true.
Oh, really?
No, that's true.
Oh.
Yeah.
So it's by your mistake that you made out of wedlock. That was way, that's been happening. We can sort it now. 19.
Now you've got something like 77%.
Exactly.
It started in 1913.
I'll be quiet because I just don't want to contribute to this cacophony.
When Joe tried to, I was trying to listen to Joe answer the question that Mr.
Out.
Top put out there, but every time he gets to talk, somebody cut in.
Hey, will you quit quarterbacking for Joe, man?
Don't want to be heard.
He'll be heard. It was so quiet.
Not today. I'm not,
25
I'm,
minutes ago.
I'm not contributing to the cacophony today. It was nice and pleasant. And I
came on at 1:30, 2:30.
Why don't you and Pionka just talk to each other? We just talked and listened to
him.
45 minutes ago, it was so quiet.
I see what Pionka doing, man. You know, they already put your partner in his coffin and nailed the coffin. You trying to pull the nails out. That's all you trying to do.
He's not ready for change. He was doing either one.
He's a businessman.
Golly, because see, this is something that used to happen a while back on this show when I used to just listen in before I started calling in, and that other guy, the guy that caused all the chaos, would come on the show.
Mm-hmm.
He would always cut in like that, just what you're talking about. You want to pull him back out the ground, but...
It must have been that lady's husband.
Oh.
Must have been your girlfriend.
Ah! Bianca is a married man, and that's a... Yeah, you're right. That's her husband. She is tired of getting shoe beat by her husband, though. That's why she come on here raising her hell.
I'm wet.
Nothing.
Y'all talk to my husband all the time, and you don't even know it. You could be my husband for all you know.
Maze, how does that make any sense?
That's what he's not making it. That's what I'm saying. What
how
I'm
does
saying.
It apply
let's get
to the?
Let's get back to the conversation.
How does it apply to the question that Mr.
Can't
Talk
see the
asked?
Let's get
right.
back to where we are.
I'm just here, relaxed. I'm going to stay
because
relaxed.
When you don't like what somebody say, you then you want
to
change the whole.
Poor
thing.
Empress is just baffled. She don't know what to say.
Yeah, everybody's been quiet. Jeez.
Babies were being born in 1913, and they didn't have no fathers in the house, and we don't have that conversation to be crying about. And it didn't cause the community to do anything but pick cotton and all that stuff. That's all it did.
Not
all.
I don't.
And they were together and
Maze.
What you say?
I don't agree with that. I'm gonna tell you why. I don't agree with that because you didn't have as many teenagers getting pregnant, and then on top of that,
they weren't teenagers.
Got,
they was...
If this girl got pregnant in, let's say, Mississippi, 9 times out of 10,
she was
her parents shipped
down.
Her off somewhere with her,
yeah.
with her to live with her other relatives somewhere else.
Yeah.
Because that was seen as an embarrassment. Now it's just. Okay, was she pregnant?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we figured it was going to happen sooner or later. That's now versus then. There's a big difference in the dynamics of this thing now, you know.
I'm talking about unwed out mothers having babies. And they like to use Strong Thurman's daughter. Do you know
yeah,
who he
but,
is?
But
his
I
daughter
know.
Never been with
hold
her
up,
father.
Girl, hold up, girl.
Out of wedlock.
Hold up. Don't do that to me. I know exactly who Strong Thurman was with his racist
okay,
ass.
Act like it.
He went out and had a little black kid, and they denied him to the very end. Exactly. But they had
so,
the right to hide this stuff. And they
what?
Still could stand up with their families and thumb their noses at everyone else.
Oh, really?
And those so, are the people that we're supposed to look up to and accept what they see that we should be. How does that work?
That's what I'm trying to figure out.
Yeah. You have these best example. Congressman, senator, whatever, riding down the road, going 90 miles an hour in a car, somebody driving. State trooper stop him. State trooper can tell everybody to get out the car. Guy don't even get out the car. Hey, do you know who I am? He pull his badge out. State trooper let him go. State trooper arrest these people. State trooper won't have a job tomorrow. So
now they're making it illegal. Now you don't even have to just do it informally. They're making it legal in one particular state or one particular county.
Imagine that.
That legal. I mean, if you're a cop or a politician, you can be exempt from traffic laws.
Mm-hmm.
They said that was on, that was in the news a couple of days ago. They're making.
And you can be George Zimmerman and be exempt too. Like he was down in Texas when he got a should have got a ticket. But he got a warning. And then they got upset with the man that should have gave him the ticket.
It happened.
So, and the point to all this is what in relation to the conversation, the topic we're talking about.
The point was.
Absolutely
point was,
nothing right now.
Well, that's your point of view, man. Go to sleep or something. You like 90 years old. Your point. My point is this. If you have Maze saying, well, who are they to say what we should do and what we shouldn't be doing when they haven't swept around their front? That's the same thing I'm saying about a congressman or a senator, Strom Thurmond, going out, laying around, and then he'll come back with his nose in there as though he's done nothing in the world and trying to tell everybody else what they should do.
Jesse Jackson and Bill Cosby.
Jesse Jackson, Bill Cosby. Hey, I don't have anything against them. You know, I do think that you I
oh,
think
boy.
You hate black people, man.
70% of black males today have what
77 black males
done, what Thurman done is nothing more but a drop in the bucket compared to what black males are doing today.
Pionka, see they didn't keep account of the biracial children.
Hold on, wait, stop.
They
everybody
just
stop.
Them.
Hey, hold on, wait, Maze. Wait,
okay.
Maze, wait. Maze.
Maze right, didn't say nothing, man. Go ahead.
Yankee.
Yes.
Hello? Back it up. Pianki. 70% of black
yes.
males doing what now?
I said what Thurman done. Thurman and them done is a drop in the bucket compared to what black males are doing today.
And
when
what is
to
that?
Producing kids and running off and leaving them. And we also know that the most dangerous place in the world for a black male is in the womb of a black woman in America.
Here we go with this abortion stuff.
What does that have to do with anything?
Nothing. That's something the Republicans gave him to repeat.
Okay. All right. If that is so, once again, it goes back to, as the topic of the show is, do we really want change? Because apparently not then. So how do we implement change to stop this from the 70% of men running away, as you say, or the danger of the dangerous place of a black man in a woman's womb? How do we go about changing that, Pianki?
You don't. Just leave them alone. They'll die out sooner or later.
Leave them alone and they'll die out sooner or later. And that's the answer.
Well, Bianca, what percentage of people are not having babies anymore because of this men liking men and women liking women? So that'll kill off a whole group of people, wouldn't it?
That's a good point, because that's going to get rid of
point?
A lot of people. That's going to this gay explosion.
So you won't have to worry about them being in the womb, period. And then they got the morning after pill. So where are you coming from with your numbers? You get.
That's going to affect heterosexuality.
Sure is.
What I think is there's an explosion of this crap everywhere, and I think it's going to affect heterosexuality because they can now reach people that can be easily influenced, like preteens, adolescents, teenagers. People that never had any inclination as to, I could possibly be gay. They sit down watching this crap on television, and all they're doing is picking up these subliminal messages. The next thing you know, instead of them liking things that should be normal for a normal young boy, male, to like, they'd rather go and do other things.
I don't think that choosing homosexuality is the same as choosing food.
I'm still missing the point here. Where is the education among all this? What, you know, we can't educate our own from the womb, as Pianki say. I mean, we can't do that. So we just have to let them die out and
here in Missouri,
take care of this problem of homosexuality and, you know, transgenderism and all this other stuff that got going on. So we just let them all die out. A whole race dies out and everything will be peachy keen again.
It's going to be just
educating
it's going to be one race, and it's going to be a biracial race where they won't have a choice to fight over what side they're supposed to be on, because they're going to be from both sides, and that's going to end the whole thing.
No,
as far as educating your own, blacks here
are
busting their kids back to white school districts.
And a whole lot of people got their kids going to homeschooling where
they
don't have to bus them over.
Yeah, that is true too, Pianki.
They are doing homeschooling. Best thing.
And that is the best answer we can come up with as far as implementing change within our own communities and our own selves and things like that. That's the best we can come up with.
Change is the biracial kids that's being born. They didn't used to keep counting up, and they count them now. And they're going way past everything.
May some of you white people not going ever. They're not going to ever mix their blood with black people.
They're going to die out, so they're not producing.
No. Why do you think so many things still have not changed as far as some rich people's and their ideologies? Because they teach their children to carry this stuff on from generation to generation.
But that's what I'm saying. The generation is dying out because they're not having kids.
Did y'all notice during the...
And they're dying out. That's why the interracial one's going to come in and take over, and they're going to...
What's dying out of the middle class of whites and blacks?
Did y'all notice during the presidential debates how Mitt Romney had that big family of boys and girls up there on stage wearing conservative clothes, even though he's a multi-millionaire? And Santorum had his family up there with all the boys and girls, and Obama only had two girls.
He had two. But have you looked at the census? Have you looked at the census lately that keep up with everything that's going on, not looking at Romney and what's his name?
Obama's going around the world trying to promote abortion and same-sex marriage. Mitt Romney is speaking at commencement speeches. Mitt Romney is speaking at commencement graduations at all girl university and tell them to get married and have a quiver of children.
And can I speak? Because Pat Buchanan said that they're getting short and they need to have babies, but they can't catch up because it's too late now. Pat Buchanan came out of his mouth. What do you have to say about what he said? Pionke.
You were asked a valid
I'm
question.
I'm asking Pionke.
Pionke.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm telling you, you asked a valid question there. Don't be quiet now.
Okay. Pionke, you there?
How long you been on, Eric? What's your program?
What?
2 hours?
Now you don't want to
answer. 2 hours. In 2 hours, black women would abort 3,400 babies.
Well, we won't. We wouldn't. Shouldn't even be here.
Okay. All right. Okay. And that is the answer to change, right? Just continue to let them abort that abort babies.
It used to be 1,200. It went up to 1,700 an hour. So yes, that's changed.
He didn't answer the question.
I don't think he understood what the question was. Ask him the question again.
I asked him, as a Pepper Cannon said, that they're disappearing and they need to have plenty of babies.
I was waiting for the host to ask the question.
Oh, well, ask it then since he can't hear.
Well, no,
did you get an answer? Did you get an answer on your original question on the image? I was listening to Joe get an answer on the image. He's been cut off for the last half hour.
Could you move from that, man? Why are you acting like a grumpy ass old man? Move on from that.
Because he has no questions, no answers. He just, I tell you, he hates black people.
Okay. All right.
I don't see any real difference between what Pianke said and what Lowe said with regards to how babies are having babies. There isn't any real difference, okay? Back in the 40s and 50s, blacks, even though segregated, had a stronger central family life, had businesses, had money, had wealth.
Mm-hmm.
Now you don't. Lowe said was absolutely right, and it's not just happening in the black community, it's happening in the white community as well. More freaking kids are having babies nowadays and without fathers, and look what's happening to our society. Okay? So there isn't any real difference between what Lowe said and what Pianke said. The thing is that the answer has not been given as to how is change going to come about to make sure that this doesn't happen at the pace that it is happening. So
I'm saying,
Joe,
I asked you the question, what about the biracial children? That's what's producing.
So your solution is that biracial kids are going to end all of this.
I didn't say that one. It is.
It is.
Yes, that's what's going to happen.
I'm going to be with Lowe. I'm going to say that white people are not going to accept black people, some black people, and there are going to be some whites who are not going to accept some blacks no matter what.
No matter how many biracial kids they have, I don't see it
because that's not human nature.
Matter of fact,
Chinese
if the biracial one
is
getting shot up by the police.
Koreans don't, so I don't see how this is going to happen, but okay.
It's the biracial ones that's getting shot up by the police around here.
Wow.
Okay. I'm going to go back to what I said originally, and I don't know, did I miss it? What happened to the education part of it? Or is the education part of it? Just let them all let them all die, and then we just start all over again.
I kind of think what people are seeing now is, you know, you have a demographic of people that are only concerned with self and self-gratification and anything that they can get just solely for themselves. You know, you talk about a whole community, and what is the community going to do as a whole? Now, the community used to step in and work together on any situation that came up. Now everybody is like squirrels with nuts, want to go and hide their nuts for the winter and only take care of their own, you know. And that's one problem within itself. When Vernon said on a few shows ago, if you have a people that's divided, you can come in there and you can bring anything you want to and you can conquer them and overtake them or whatever. But if you have a people that's there standing and working together as a unit, then you have a force to reckon with.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that, you know, with all the self-empowerment and the big push now for all this individuality, that has something to do with it, too, because as long as you're just concerned about doing you, then you're not concerned about helping your brother that's there beside you.
And also, Bianca, where can I find the information about the biracial kids that's getting shot by the police? Where do I look that up at?
There's a newspaper here called the Evening World. They picture on them every Friday.
You said it's called the Rural
Evening World.
But hold on. Look, you know what? I can put y'all in the meeting room so y'all can talk yourself.
No, we don't want to be in the meeting room. I was just asking a question because when people say something, I like to research it.
All right. I just wonder.
So I can know what I'm looking at.
Thing. You know, Lo said something and it made the
most. She does that is a change.
Okay, I don't know why every time I got to say something, somebody else got to say something. But we can cease that, all that good stuff. Right now, Lo, you said I understand what you're saying about the breaking up and divide and conquer and all that good stuff. Now, but here's the thing: you mentioned individualism. Okay, but shouldn't we educate ourselves first before we go out and try and educate each other? The way, if each person went out and educated themselves and then we came together as a group, wouldn't that help solve, help us move in the right direction of change as far as the positive things that we want to get done? Or is that still going to lead us into a negative area that we already in?
I think that can be a double-edged sword because if you are educating yourself versus educating you and your people together and y'all coming up together, then you still are going to take on some of those characteristics of the same individuality that you feel as opposed to promoting and also your self-empowerment as opposed to promoting group power empowerment and group organization. You know, of course, the teacher can't be an idiot. The teacher can't be an idiot because she has to teach. But as a whole, you have all these students in there collecting information, some a little slower than others, but they still all collect the information together. And that can be a lot stronger of a group versus the teacher teaching everyone individually, you know. I just think that we as a whole, we do have to get on the same sheet of music because if you have, like I said, your elders have to get off their asses, man. You know, your elders have to get off their asses and start showing self-respect because if you got a 40-something, 50-something-year-old woman walking around with the same outfit on as her 20-year-old daughter with her cleavage hanging out and ass hanging out and she's doing all this hoochie dancing and stuff, then you don't have order there. You don't have any discipline there. You don't have any type of womanhood displayed there other than a woman of the streets. You know, no sense of showing how to bring this girl to her rites of passage into being a woman. You know, just more chaos.
Okay. All right. I understand that point. I really do. But, man, that's a hard one. That's a good point, though, Lo. That is a very good point. But, I've said this on shows before, though. There should be someone somewhere that should be trying to mentor or guide them in the right direction, wouldn't you think?
I would hope so. But if the rest of the majority of the community is there to tear them down while you have this one individual trying to build them up, then that one individual has a long, long walk up the hill, man. That's a long walk up the hill.
A long walk.
And a lonely walk up the hill also.
Mm.
You know, you can do a lot more with 5 or 10 people versus one person trying to make something happen.
Right. My point exactly. Ebony, you've been mighty quiet. I know you're getting ready for your show.
Yeah, I am getting ready for my show, but I have been listening.
Mm-hmm.
Hello.
What do you take
Hi,
on
Hello.
It?
Hello. How are you?
I'm well. Cheers.
Yes. Cheers. You need to slap. I
do.
Yeah, you do. And I agree with some of what you're saying, actually. I think we need leadership in our communities. I think change cannot be sometimes effected well without good leadership. And that's leadership in the home, that's leadership out in the world, in the church, proper leadership, not treating churches like businesses. So we can't trust what goes on there, because, you know, if the moral fiber of the society is in jeopardy, where do you go to get any leadership? Where do you, if nobody defines wrong as wrong and right as right, where do you go? So, you know, I think there's definitely some work to be done around leadership. And I think maybe after we lost some of our big leaders during the civil rights movement, we've always maybe as black people been looking around for new leadership. That's probably why the Barack Obama, that whole symbolism of him making that shift into a leadership position was so significant for people around the world who are of black skin looking for leaders, and just looking for that role model, you know, the possibility that someone could do it, anybody could do it, not that that person has necessarily been the greatest leader that he could be, but the fact that it could happen, I think, was a major, major turning point for the community to be able to see that in their lifetime. So we need more of that. We need to see more of our people in positive roles in the media, you know, in all walks of life, so that our children have those models. And of course, the greatest leadership is in the home, and it's got to start in the home, where we show that we can be the great people that we want them to be. Because there's no point in saying I have all these expectations of you being a great child when you have been a failure as a parent. And if you are on welfare, you know, and you've never had a job, you've never really done anything that contributes and to your community, seriously, where does the leadership come from, and will your children see any role models? So, you know, we've all got to take responsibility for our share in it. And that's how change is properly effective. It's got to start in the home, and it's got to then, you know, flood throughout society.
All right.
If you remember during the 60s, I mean, you had men and women that were out there marching together and everything, but at the same time, there was an order there, and the women were there to support the men. The men were there to actually voice the opinions of the communities. Am I right or wrong?
Yeah,
that's true. Now you have men that want to take a back seat, and they want women to take their role in society. There's order there that's supposed to be maintained, and if a man doesn't hold up his end to the whole bargain, then the whole thing is bound to fail.
Yeah.
Because now you have a woman who's outside of her element. You have children that are outside of their element because they don't really know which direction to go here. Because the first thing will happen is the woman will be deemed to be mouthy and unruly.
Mm-hmm.
Only
wow.
Because she's doing what a man refuses to do.
All right. So, in the chat room, so Vicky
Griffith
said something very interesting. She said, some black women are the hardest to share any advice with. You don't realize how much many of us older heads try. And I gave up. With thirsty women want a man, they will listen to what everyone says, not their soul. Wow. Okay.
Well, I've got to go, guys.
That was
guys.
Vicky Griffith said in the chat room.
I'm going to go because I'm actually going to start my show
okay. Very
shortly. But, yeah, it's been a good show, Mr. Talk. I see you guys soon. If you want to pop over.
Yeah, thank you.
We're talking about exercise.
Yeah, we'll drop by once we finish here.
Okay, cool. See you later.
Okay.
Bye.
Talk.
All right,
care.
Thanks, Ebony. Bye-bye.
All the things that was
yes,
in the community.
Yes, Amaze, go ahead.
All the things that was in the community when people was a community. What happened to them? Except you came out with when you had to spare the rod, you spoiled the child. Then you came up with laws to where you couldn't do anything to the child. Was that a part of what happened
mm-hmm.
to them? But nobody never gets to that point to where if you look at them too hard, you might go to jail. Not even put your hand on them or say the wrong thing, you might go to jail. Whose laws were those? Did we come out as a group to say that we wanted that? Or was just one person went to court and came out with this, a Dr. Spark? And Dr. Spark never had any children. That's what I'm saying. And that changed from Dr. Spark is what changed our community. Because Miss Ann around the corner could bust you open and nothing could happen. Let Miss Ann look at you now and say something, she's in trouble. So it's not too much of the fault of the older people than the laws that were changed so the older people couldn't get to the younger people. That's some of the problem.
Hmm. Okay.
That's a good point.
All right.
That's a very
you know
good
what,
point.
That probably, yeah, that's a very good point. That's a valid. That
wait
is
a minute,
valid.
Wait a minute. You're telling me that because some years ago some legislation came out where they frowned upon corporal punishment, that's the reason why babies are having babies?
Joe, I'm going to tell you like
this.
You're
talking about no corporal punishment?
Hold on,
okay.
Man. Let me hear. Now, you can accept this or not. As far as, and it's probably never said too much around white people, but black people will all agree. Black people are now raising their kids like white people.
We didn't used to
worry about, let me take time out to listen to what you have to say or how you feel or you're emotionally distraught right now. We didn't. Our people didn't go through that, man. Hey, you know what? I tell you what, you better get right or you're going to get that ass cut. See, and that's where the respect was at, too. Now, you got black children doing what I only saw white women going through in the grocery store, crying, yelling, laying on the floor, hitting back, all of this stuff. I hate you, all that. I never saw that when I was coming up with black people. I never saw it in my whole life, but I always did see that with white people. And
well,
now,
what do you think that happened?
Now,
hold on for a minute, Lowe, before you go any further with
that.
To add to answer what Joe was actually saying. Joe, no, that was not the specific reason why.
Mm-hmm.
One of the main reasons why is the older generation begin to die out. Okay, it's just honest. A lot of the older generation that had those beliefs and morals and values begin to die out. Then as the new generation came up, then their point, the way that, of looking at things begin to change with the political correctness and, you know, everybody trying to reach that American dream. They begin to change the outlook on how they raise children, how they discipline children, and that has led to a lot of the difficulties that, you know, the black community is facing now. So that's to answer your question.
Mm-hmm. All right. So you're saying that nowadays, maybe for the past 10, 15, or 20 years, whatever span of time that you want to assign to it, is that parents have been more lax. Black kids.
Mm-hmm.
Raising black kids, and as a result, they're more lenient towards their kids than they used to be, and that's as a result of their trying to follow the white
law. The law, that's right.
The law.
Yeah. Plus, the
Joe,
plus,
you don't believe
plus
it,
add, listen,
no, I don't.
And to add to it, to add to it, listen, damn it.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
All right. Okay. 1 minute left. Y'all want to continue to hear the show live? We are going over time. Call in at 347-838-8622. Hey, y'all, come on. We finna really get into this thing now. But go back. Another thing is, you know, the boob tube, you know, with the invention of satellite and internet and all that good stuff, you know, parents are letting these things entertaining kids now. I remember back in the day, we used to have to sit down and read books in front of our parents. You understand? Or we sat down and we, you know, when we had dinner all together, you know, we sat down and we had conversations with mom and dad sitting at the table. You know, so it's just, yeah, well, the last key kids. And I mean, so it's a combination of things. It's not one thing specifically. You understand, Joe? But it's a combination of things that have evolved. Huh? Yeah, it's a lot that has contributed and evolved into what we have, to one of the big problems that we have now. Hold on, Vernon want to come in, so let me get him in. 30 seconds. All right, Vernon, you're on the air, man.
Hello, Cuz, what's up?
What's going on? How y'all doing? What's up, Cuz?
You're late, Cuz.
Yes.
As soon as I chimed in, you were talking about what I wanted to talk about, man. You know, the TVs and all that different stuff, you know, kids looking at now and, you know, and hell, nobody know what kind of books a lot of them, things they are reading, you know, like you said, mm-hmm. back in the day, you know, if you read something, your parents know what you was really reading, and, you know, if you slipped and read something you wasn't supposed to be really reading, I mean, I guarantee your parents didn't know anything about it, which, like I said, they probably... Like nowadays, a lot of parents probably don't know it now, but most of them probably don't even give a damn what the kids are reading because they let them watch anything on TV. But you know, that's gonna be the thing. You know, it, you know, with this change that you were talking about is getting it started inside the home, man.
Right.
You know, inside the communities in the home, the stuff, man,
Wasn't when they were watching TV. We watch Andy Griffin and the Beverly Hillbillies and all that stuff and Tarzan. It didn't do nothing to us.
Well, you watched a lot of stuff that was.
But see, you're not watching
Atlanta Housewives.
Let's see, the thing that they looking
that.
At. TV. Okay, when I was growing up, look, how many channels we had? About three?
Three or four channels.
That,
yeah.
That was on a good clear day.
That was
you
it.
Had three
channels. Yeah. And the TV went off.
Episode. Yeah, the TV went off at a certain time at night, man.
Yeah.
So, you know, it now you got all kinds of shit to look at on TV. And, you know, they had the filters that wouldn't allow certain things to be showed on TV.
Or said.
Now you can you can watch all kinds of stuff on you know, and, you know,
okay.
that, like Eric said, that ain't just the only thing that's to blame, but... You know, it's a number of things that's, you know, to blame for the problem that we're having now. You know, it's a lot of things. You know,
mm-hmm.
another thing like Lowe
said, right.
Andy, you know, there's no respect no more in the community.
Earlier, Mr. Talk was saying that we need to change, but now you saying that we shouldn't have changed.
Oh, no, we need to change from where we are. We need to change from where we are, Bianchi. Ain't no doubt about that. We changed for the worse, man. We was headed in the right direction, and then we changed for the worse, man. And now we need to get back in the direction
right.
that we was headed in and back on a certain kind of track because, you know, we had structure. We had more family structure than we had dysfunctional
mm-hmm.
families. You know, now we got too much damn dysfunctional family and not enough structure going on.
And there was an experiment done with that change, too.
Imagine
yeah.
that.
It was an experiment done with that change.
Yeah, I mean, I remember when I was in school, Pianchi, you had maybe two or three kids out of 100 or something kids that was gonna be trouble kids for the teacher. Now you probably got, I wouldn't be scared to say, you know, 50 of those 100 some kids ain't trouble kids or more.
No, but you got them on Ritalin and all the Prozac and all the stuff in the classroom. They have.
Yep.
So what do you expect to get out of them?
No. Teacher actually do something. They shaming up in their shoulders and frowning at them.
And back then,
they don't tell them what to do and all that stuff.
But, Lord, the teachers were not afraid of the kids when we went to school.
Well, you know,
teachers
are
afraid of the
kids. Yeah.
You respected your teacher. But now the teacher don't respect the kid and the kid don't respect her.
Well,
and you would get a paladin in school. But
something that happened. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off.
Okay.
Something that happened also, and because I remember talking to my parents about it, and when they integrated those schools,
mm-hmm,
you had black students that would get paddled by white teachers,
mm-hmm.
but you wasn't going to get a white student getting paddled by a black teacher.
No,
they
didn't.
Mm. Wow. Yeah, hold on for a minute. Let me
that happened.
Yeah, I think that's what's wrong with me. She got paddled.
Well, I didn't get paddled because I didn't get paddled. That's what's wrong with Pionga. He didn't get a paddle at all.
I'll let you on the air, man. Welcome to the show.
Hey. Good afternoon, everybody. Good afternoon, everybody. Glad to hear such a lively conversation. I just wanted to chime in on the effect of television like Maze was saying about the TV shows that we, that those TV shows, back then television was innocent because all the shows were family shows, and a lot of people forget.
It
back
wasn't
then, it, but it didn't matter. It was, it's
that was
the programming.
To be like
they were,
that we were.
My point is that they were promoting family. Is what was being promoted.
Right.
So, and back then, a lot of people forget, you had shows about single fathers. You had The Courtship of Eddie's Father. You had My Three Sons. You had
Andy
Family
Griffith.
Affair with Buffy and Jody. So
that's
you got to see, you got to see both sides of it. You don't even see that now. But the point that I wanted to make is that anytime change is instituted in society, it's always done through children first. It's never done with the adults because they're much harder to change. They have a set frame of mind. So anytime they try to change the course of the way society functions, it's done through children. And like I was saying in the chat room, when we got cable, and then all of a sudden cable became a 24-hour entity, the first thing that they made 24 hours was cartoons.
Mm-hmm.
That was the very first thing. So now, instead of coming home like I was, where you only got cartoons for like 2 hours during the week, and then on weekends, on Saturday, you had cartoons from like 7 to 12, that was about it.
Right.
Kids started growing up being able to watch cartoons 24 hours a day. And then from there... from there, they expanded that into teenage programming and adult programming to where it was off the board. But they did the adults last. They did the children first. And that's how they do it. They always do the kids first because they're the easiest ones to manipulate.
Yeah, you're right, man. You can't put new wine in old bottles. You're absolutely right about that.
Oh, wow.
I'm going to have to use that one.
That's a good point.
It's the truth.
I know, right?
It's the truth.
But, yeah. So, Joe, you know, what happened, Joe. That's why, you know, it's just not one single thing. He kind of.
Yeah.
You with us now, Joe?
You don't believe it, do you, Joe?
And the whole point
you don't believe that?
Is.
Pianki don't believe
you don't believe that, Pianki?
Because we were going in a...
So, Pianki, what do you think is the reason then? Pianki?
I was talking to Joe.
Pianki?
He's not talking to nobody but Joe.
Okay, well, I'm talking to you. I'm talking to you, Pianki. What do you think is the problem then? If that wasn't contributing factor...
2 hours ago, you asked... an hour and 45 minutes ago, we asked Joe that question. Every time he got ready to answer, they kept cutting him off.
Pianki, your tap dancing. Your tap dancing today. Anyway, no, I'm being good today. Joe, where you at, Joe? You still there? Joe may be eating.
He probably
don't think he fell asleep.
Might be napping.
No, no, he's still here.
Yeah.
Nah, he's still here somewhere.
Anyway,
but okay.
Anyway, man.
But
okay.
Yeah, those are all valid points. I like that.
I was going to say something that hurts the whole
something that
is the fact. Can you hear me? One thing that hurts the whole equation is when you have black people that refuse to agree to some of this stuff. That's some of our problems. You know, it actually hurts because, I mean, if you have a group of people saying, well, hey, you know, we have this issue and this issue and that issue, and another group of the same people saying,
mm-hmm.
"Well, those really aren't problems at all." Then you have a division right there, all within itself.
Oh, all black folks, people ain't the same.
And Mr.
Wow.
Talk,
when
you looked at the Beverly Hillbillies, and you look at Jethro and Ellie. They didn't have a mother. They had I guess there was a granny, and what's the name? Was the grandfather and grandmother? What were they doing?
He was the uncle. He was the uncle.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't even have a mother and a father. So
yeah,
we planned those.
You're
those
right.
When we were growing up, but you didn't see what was inside those when you were watching that, and you thought it was the greatest thing to be watching.
Beverly Hillbillies, everybody was adults.
And when the moving on up one came in with Florence and what's his name, they were married to each other. They were not wealthy, but they were married.
The Jeffersons?
Yeah.
The other one. The one moving on with JJ and all of them. They were
good times.
So I'm saying, watching TV back then, if you really go back and look at it, you need to look at what you were looking at. Out of them four channels that you were looking at then.
What is your point, man?
It was structure.
Now, what were you saying, P. Young?
You said something.
Hey, back in them days, Oz and Harry didn't even sleep in the bed. And they was man and female. Today, you got men on the TV kissing each other. That's disgusting.
Well, yeah, you do have that.
Who are they? Who's trying to send this man? This is going to be something different, too. He's going to have to deal with it. We're not doing it. We're not making no changes like that. With transgender and...
Oh, we make
changes. He wants to always talk about the abortion issue. I'm like, when men always into an abortion while women get an abortion, I want to know who said that two men should be sleeping together and nobody complaining about it. It's all quiet. But you let the media bring it to you, that's the way it's supposed to be. They get it in the classroom. They want to bring it and have their own everything. And whose fault is that going to be?
Well.
And it's just like I say, no babies will be born. And you don't have to worry about abortion, Bianca, since that stay on your mind. But a woman can have the choice to choose, and men can have a fit about it.
Well, you know what? Maze, I'm finna have to turn against you now because I'm gonna tell you like this.
Uh-oh.
Now, if you and I are having a relationship and we're not married and we have an intercourse, and I tell you straight up, hey, I don't want no kids from you. I don't want any children. We're just enjoying each other. And you go out and you wind up getting pregnant by me, and I say, hey, I'm telling you, I don't want to have anything to do with this or you or that situation. And you say, well, screw you. I can do all this on my own. I can handle my own business. And you wind up going, getting on that system, and that system says, well, hey, the first thing you got to do is put him on child support. Now,
and if you
remember,
get a vasectomy, you don't have to worry about that. Like she
remember, I told you I didn't want to deal with that from the very beginning.
Well, that's what I'm saying. If you didn't want to deal with it, why are you messing with
me? Yeah, we shouldn't be having sex with her.
Yeah.
If they're going to have sex, it should be unprotected. But
the law says that you are the father. You have to take care of that child.
I understand that, and I'll agree with what Joe said also,
okay,
that a man should have the right over his own semen, too.
Okay, hold on, y'all. Let me bring somebody else here, because I see where this one's going. Hold on. All right, area code 302, you're on the air. What's going on?
Hello, Mr. Talk. This is Antoinette. Now, you said that
hello,
you...
Hello, Antoinette.
Hi, Antoinette.
Hi, Bianchi. How are you?
And that's my kind of female.
Hello,
that's
Antoinette.
My kind of female right there.
Maze. Well, Mr. Talk, if you are having sex with someone, but you tell them that you don't want to have any children, where is your bunt of the responsibility? See, you know what you don't want to do, so if you don't want children, then why aren't you protecting yourself
condoms
to ensure that does
okay,
not
hold on, wait
happen?
A minute, wait a minute. Wait. Okay. All right, Antoinette, let me answer that question for you. Now, that was...
Okay.
Now, see, here's my... See, I told y'all, this is always the fun part of the show. All right, look, here's my outlook on that. I'm with you. Both should be, too, and I've said this before on the show, both should be bearing the blunt of the responsibility. He should bring his protection. He should bring something to make sure she uses protection, even though she may try and pull the okey-doke on him, you know, and she should have some protection. Now, that was Mr. Lowe that actually said that.
I'm sorry.
The way he views it. My view is I agree with you. Both people should be hell. And, you know, I grew up, well, my mom educated me, so I always had some anti-sperm phone with me, you know, just in case. So I
shouldn't
deal with.
Shouldn't have no sex if you
know
the condom break. You shouldn't have no sex.
That's true.
And if you don't want no kids.
See, I'm saying
okay.
That because that's what I told my sons. You know, if you don't want to have children, then make sure that you use something because You have them. They're your responsibility. Yeah. You're taking care of them.
But that's not the option Bianca gave.
Right.
Bianca said don't have sex. Let's be practical.
Well, I mean,
you know that people are going to have sex.
Right. I didn't want them to either.
But
right.
If you want
right.
one, you want to have it, you go have, find one with a tombstone, or you fix yourself, and you won't have to worry about that problem. Never.
Yeah, but that didn't work when they were teenagers. That didn't
yes.
work when they were teenagers, Mace.
All right, here we
that
go.
That was someone that
right.
had their tooth
thank
died.
Thank you. I mean, really.
Right.
But,
right.
you know, when
yeah.
they got grown
yeah.
and,
all right,
know,
hold on. Let
well, I thought we were talking about grown-ups.
Antoinette's on the show.
Right.
The way to stop teenage
yeah.
pregnancy
hold on,
is
let me
no break. Teenage sex.
He's trying to bring somebody in here.
Yeah, right. Okay. Hold on. Let me bring somebody else in. Let me bring somebody else in. Area code 410, you on the air. Welcome to the show. What you got to say?
Oh, no, I'm just listening. It's pretty interesting about the whole kids thing, about what y'all were just talking about. It's pretty interesting.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, welcome to the show.
I mean,
show.
I get in. I'm listening. I get in where I fit in, but I'm definitely listening.
All right.
Oh, Joe.
Thank you, sir.
Just a quick thing, Joe. Bring your spiel back about how you feel in reference to having ownership of your sperm. I remember you mentioning something about that. If you don't want a kid and you tell the lady that you don't and she wind up getting pregnant anyway, she have the option to or not to have a child.
My philosophy about that?
Yeah, yeah.
That man or woman should do, should agree beforehand.
Burn and mute yourself and all that noise.
Okay, okay.
And I don't like the fact that the man has no say whatsoever. This shit about, well, it's my body, says the woman. And she has the choice of having the abortion or keeping the kid, even if she tells her husband or her boyfriend, I don't want the baby, but then she can change her mind. That's bullshit.
No, it's not. Because you can sign an agreement. You can sign an agreement with it in, so you can make one piece, but you don't sign no papers with that agreement while you're sitting there talking either, do you? You don't clear,
because
you don't
in no
make
state
sure
does any state allow that agreement to exist.
Well, if it don't, that's just here to do what?
Now you're going to side with corrupt politicians.
It's like, leave them alone, if that's the case.
Yeah.
I agree with Joe. I really do, because, you know, if you have a woman to say, and it happened to me one time years ago. Hey, I had everything going for myself. I was able to take care of my own children and everything. I was financially able to do everything I needed to, and I had the support group in my family to allow me to do all of this. So a girl got pregnant mm-hmm. by me, and, oh, I can't have a baby. My parents would look down. I said, you're in college. You're an adult. These things happen. And so she wound up getting an abortion. I had no say in that. I said, hey, I will pay for everything. But she and I said, you won't ever have to see this child, because I'll raise this child myself with the help of my family. You know, you wouldn't have to do anything. Just carry it for 9 months. She had the option to go and flush it out of behind.
And
I had
why
no
you,
whatsoever.
And that's why you feel bitter.
You would be too, Maze, because that shouldn't have happened.
The woman still has
right
to do what she wants
to
do with her body.
If you lay on your ass and you get knocked up, that you eat that pill. You put the pill in your mouth, you swallow it. You
okay,
wasn't
so
about that when
so
you
Lo, here's an argument. No, here's an argument that is being pushed to forward today with that mentality right there. Many would say that is the reason why we have such a high percentage of single parent homes, mainly females now, because of that same mentality. What would you say to that?
I would say,
and
that's
many
the
have said
why.
You have said it yourself. You have said it yourself. It's part of the problem why we have so many problems within our community. Now, you have said this yourself.
I did say that. But I didn't say that I agree with the abortion part, though. I never agree with that.
Oh, okay.
I never agree with
that.
And here's another important aspect. Lo was willing to become a responsible dad. He wasn't a deadbeat dad. He said, give me the kid. That's different than fucking kid. Fathers who say, I don't want to be bothered with the kid. And they say, and this is another thing, there are men who seduce their girlfriends and their fiancés, and they say, baby, you and I forever. And then the wife or the fiancé has a baby, and then the man runs away. That's a scumbag, okay?
And then it's also a scumbag when he marries and then leave with the kids. And then go marry somebody else and raise a son.
Not necessarily. Maze, sometimes you were trying so hard to be so quick on the draw.
The
sometimes you just lose sight of the target altogether.
The kids are
don't
still out there without a father regardless.
That
well,
is
let's
true,
do,
Maze.
It is true, but that's just this side of the street.
We're not disagreeing with Maze, but right now right. That's not what we're talking about, though. That's a whole
different thing. What's the difference?
There's a lot of difference.
The difference so, is
explain
the
that
difference
one.
Is eventually they were married at one time. That's the difference
well,
compared to not being
kids.
Married at all.
I thought it was about having
Maze, don't let me warm up that shotgun. I've been good so far.
Warm it up and shoot me if it makes you feel good, but I'm still going to say what I said.
Don't shoot it in the head. It won't do no good.
I told you, change is not nothing that I'm afraid of.
Lauren, he going to shoot?
Oh, Lord.
Yeah. He got
in the head. You're just wasting bullets.
Oh, yeah. You have to forgive Pionka because he don't understand what's going on. He's just here. He ate the wrong food today.
But I mean, he's out on his stomach. The gist of it is, though, you had a young man that was willing to be responsible and take care of his responsibilities the way he was supposed to.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's just say down the road, that girl did wind up having that baby, and all of a sudden things change, and we decide,
there
hey,
you
know, let's make a run at this thing. Let's start our family here.
Well,
let's
maybe
get
you
married.
Were,
let's fall in love.
Well, no.
All of
if
these
you was
things.
In love with her, she should have been your wife when it came
I
to
didn't
the point.
Say that. I didn't say that I was in love with her.
You
this
said you were going to take care of the baby.
Look.
You didn't say that you were going to take care of your wife. So that's where the problem came in there. She was still going to be lonely, regardless whichever way it was going to go.
Maze,
you got men taking care of their own children today. Women
were
having to drop them off
so
the
quick with the quick responses. You,
Hell,
missed,
you don't
you
even have no
target
children.
All
you
don't, it don't matter
you don't
if you got
any
kids
children,
or not.
So you don't even have a fist in the fight.
Yes, I do. I can say this.
Maze, I'm going to say this nice as I can. Cut that
say
bullshit
it.
Out because he does have an
say
opinion.
It.
He can give an opinion.
I didn't say he didn't have an opinion. I see you don't can't see the point.
You ain't got no kids. You don't
children.
Know what you're talking about.
Children.
Just because of
children.
Your experience, that doesn't
children.
Mean every man had the experience that you had. Low.
Maze.
Some of them did have the
stop
children.
Stop trying to be the quick draw.
And the irony of it all is the girl wound up getting pregnant not too long after she did that to me.
And maybe she wanted
yeah.
to
baby. What?
Stop defending all women like they're
well,
like
because
angels.
They have a choice.
Hey, Chad, you can
maybe
it
wasn't your baby after all.
But oh Lord,
that could have been the situation.
That could have been. Maze, chill. All right, right now
okay.
You all.
I want to
chill
because they're not used to change. I'll be quiet for a while.
See, Antoinette. On it. That's a lady named Antoinette, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, what you trying to say, Maze?
No, Maze got to show her ass right now. That's all that is.
Oh, that's what it is. Okay.
I'm the same person every day.
She's showing her behind right now.
You showing yours now. Because of
anyway.
Yeah, she got a pancake.
You need to see.
I love Maze. Maze is so sweet. I love Maze.
They shared some of that hatred they got.
I'm not
going to
say it again. I'm not going to say it again.
Shoot me. Shoot me.
Okay.
Now,
wow.
That's how them babies get made. You don't want. Shoot me.
Yeah. And here's electricity to kill you.
Oh, my.
Now.
She know what to say, all right.
Mm-hmm. Gather, happy seat. I was doing good today, too. I hadn't hit nobody, see? Anyway, as we were saying, basically, look, I understand. Look, when it comes to that, it falls on both the man and the woman. I have always said that a man should have some say-so in what happens, especially if abortion is considered. By no means am I abortion, you know, unless it's part of a crime or something like that, yes. But as far as just normal, no, I'm not for abortion. And I do feel that a man should have some say-so when it comes to that. That's the way I feel about that. And, but, it, you know, in a lot of instances, yeah, men are wrong when it comes to that. And the system does help advocate, you know, that part of it to where, you know, women can go and they ain't even got to tell the guy to afterwards. You know, so... It's one of those things.
You're right.
It's part of the system.
Know, something I heard of that was so selfish was a man and his wife had been married for many years, and she wound up pregnant two or three occasions. They never had a child. She wound up pregnant two or three times, and she never did tell that man. She went and got rid of his children. Talk about,
you know, that's just trifling there. Or as they say today, that's just ratchet. You know what I mean?
It is, man.
And Antoinette, being that you're new to the show, you know, and what do you have to say about stuff like that? Because we know what May is going to say.
It's an abortion without telling her husband?
Yes.
I don't agree with that. I don't agree with abortion. Know myself personally. If you get pregnant, then, you know,
eat your pee.
You have to bear the brunt of it. And if you're a person who can't take care of children, then, you know, let someone in your family take care of them.
Especially if it wasn't a husband's baby in the beginning.
Well, I mean, even if it's you and your husband, some couples, they, you know, my youngest son, they don't want any more children. They have the one, that's all they want. So, you know, I guess if she did get pregnant and they still decided that they don't want to keep the baby, then, you know, hopefully they would give it to someone else in the family.
Yeah, but the operative
instead
word
of putting
you said
the baby up
they.
For adoption or something like that, I, you know, would rather see the child go to someone in the family.
There is no they, Antoinette.
What are you talking about, Joe?
I'm talking to Antoinette. There is no they. If they decide to have an abortion, if she decides to have an abortion.
Right, that's true.
Right.
Well, I'm saying they as in a couple.
Which
they
doesn't
that
exist
make
when it comes
decisions.
To an abortion.
She's talking about her son that she raised, and she know how they do stuff.
Okay. Do you have a problem listening?
That is
no
correct.
They.
Well, for my son.
There is no they, Antoinette.
That's what she's
well,
saying.
For my sons.
There can be your sons, but there's no they. She
right.
wants
okay,
an abortion.
Well, they,
she can
they
have an
are.
Abortion. If he says no and she says yes, who's going to have the final word?
He is.
Who is?
She is.
He is.
He is. How
he
is he going to have the final word?
Because she's
okay,
not going to do it. She's going to listen to him.
Thank you.
Ah.
Because that's just the way how she is.
They're not used to that.
Yeah, thank you.
Because I'm new to them.
She listens to, you know, they have respect for each other.
Mm-hmm.
That's fine. Nothing wrong with that. Mm-hmm. But if she said that she don't want no baby, it doesn't matter what he say. If she
says she doesn't want a lot of things, and because
that
he wants it,
that has nothing to do with an abortion.
Absolutely.
But see, no. Y'all have to understand, and I think I figured out. Antoinette is speaking on for something she knows that she knows this couple. You know, because it's
thank
her son,
you.
Her daughter-in-law. So she knows the inside on. So she knows what she, you know. She knows what's going to happen in this situation. So that's what she's speaking on.
No,
but they both
doesn't.
Don't
no.
want. They
Eric
both don't
Antoinette.
Want any right
no,
now.
No, you don't. She may not want to move. She may not want to move from one neighbor to another. She may not want to send her son to boarding school, and she might acquiesce. But when it comes to an abortion,
they're taking precautions that they don't have any kids right now because neither one of them
want
any
kids. If they have a kid, it's still up to her.
She
may listen to them, but there is no guarantee.
She has a death row or something like that where they do not want any. They do not want any more children. They said,
you know what? I'm going to tell you about a personal thing.
They cannot afford anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And
I'm
going to
tell you a thing in my family.
Want.
Here's the thing. My cousin married this woman who said and agreed with them. They didn't want kids. And she told him even if she got pregnant, she would have an abortion. She couldn't have kids now. Okay? So they were not anticipating kids within this marriage. She got pregnant. She said she didn't know about it for about until after the first trimester. They had one. So they figured, okay, one accident. Now they got two kids. So don't tell me,
okay? Maybe she will, but when it comes to an abortion and that experience actually happens in the light of day, then you can tell me.
Uh-huh. Some women have babies that ain't know they was pregnant.
Hold on.
You got that right, Bianca.
Well, Joe,
my
granddaughter is getting ready to turn 6, and for years since she was 2, they have said that that was it. They realized that they could not afford to have another child, that it did not fit into their budget for them to give the lifestyle that they want to have. And so,
and
you know,
she may agree with
them.
Some women have babies they didn't even know they was pregnant.
I'm not saying that everything that's occurring right
and
now
I know two
isn't
people
occurring.
That happen too.
What I'm saying is that when the baby, when she starts getting the hormones kicking in and she has she's got the baby, it is solely her choice, and her choice can very easily change regardless of what's been happening within their particular family dynamic. Whether or not she listens to them, that's cool, but she doesn't have
to. But the problem is, I think the problem is when you say women have, when you hear women say they have the choice to do with their bodies what they want, it like they don't believe in abortion, but if they got a choice, they should have the choice to do what they want with their bodies because it belongs to them, not you.
Well, what about that kid? What choice do they have?
What about the kid?
Yeah. What about that? What about that fetus?
If she wanted
it, does it have?
What about the fetus?
I'm asking about the question. That's growing inside of her. What can it say? Well, I want this. I want to live. Or go ahead and flush. Can it?
You know what? Let me tell y'all something. Here's another point. That's another point with Western society. When you have your Bill Gates, your Obama, and them trying to impose abortion, saying that in other societies, that womb don't belong to the woman. It belongs to the creator for the ancestors to come back into this world.
Oh, my.
And that is a fact.
Every woman cannot have babies anyway.
I'm not saying every woman cannot have.
Where that come from with the creator if they all can't have them?
Well,
did everybody go silent all of a sudden?
I have a question though, Joe. I had a question with Joe. You said your cousin married some lady and she said she didn't want to have kids.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so she wound up marrying your ugly ass cousin and didn't want the ugly ass kids. She wound up getting pregnant anyway.
Right, so when you come down to Western, especially American, she didn't want to have kids.
She said she couldn't have kids. All right?
But she had two.
Then. Okay, 2 kids now.
Oh.
Like I've always said, the kids are the treasures that parents always wish they never found.
Well, that is not true, because I'm glad I found my treasure, damn it. Nah.
And I am, too.
Yeah,
nah,
too.
You say Joe, not with Joe.
No, I can't have children. Don't worry, honey. Okay? Can't have them.
Yeah, that stuff of these
but that's still
United States
your
policies.
Responsibility.
It
yeah,
is.
I mean, if
what
a man is going to lay down with a woman, and you know that you do not want any children, where is your responsibility in it to ensure that you don't get what you don't want?
So in other words, you're not supposed to trust this woman that's supposed to be your wife, right?
If you don't want any children.
If you don't want any children and somebody's telling you, I cannot have kids, what are you supposed to do, hire a private investigator and find out if she's telling you the truth?
Well, if a woman says she can't have children and you're married,
you're not supposed to test it to see it, and it's too late after you find out.
Don't give me lame excuses.
You go get fixed. If that's
all right.
Okay,
don't tell me now about what somebody should have done after
they've
already been married.
That's what it's called.
He's right.
You see the one that you go fix. You go fix Joe, and Joe won't have to have any children.
Actually, he is right because he said that the woman said she could not have children.
But that happens where women are told that they cannot have children. The likelihood of them having children is, you know, almost zero, but they may have that little percentage.
When I also said, she said, even if I do get pregnant, I will have an abortion. You have double consideration there.
So then that
somebody
means you don't
that you are supposed to trust and love in the
but
sacrament
don't.
Of marriage because they're Catholic.
Just because.
Okay, well, then if she said that there was still a possibility, then if
don't
you
tell
don't
me about
want
the
children,
please, if it happened
then
to
you,
you or somebody else, you would just say, well, you know what? Within the sanctity of marriage,
as a man,
a man gave
do,
me double consideration,
no
gave me a double guarantee, and now I got a double whammy. I don't want to hear it.
But you know what, Josie? Now, this is the problem that I have. Men like to put all of the burden of birth control and everything else on the woman. Now, if
nobody
you know
well, if
you're
she's saying
out
it's
there,
my body, you don't
wait
have
a minute,
choice.
Excuse me, Joe.
Mm-hmm.
Wait a minute. If you're out there and you're having sex with women, but you know you do not want any children, then you're supposed to protect yourself. You're supposed to take
responsibility. That's right, but it has
you
nothing to do with marriage.
To take, wait a minute, Joe. You're supposed to take responsibility for your body, to look out for your interests in the future, and which is your income or your time.
So if
you don't want that, then and the only thing you just want is just to have
that
sex
has nothing to do with
whatever.
Marriage, number one.
It,
so I'm not listening to that.
No, I'm talking about in general.
But
Joe,
if
I'm
a woman is
going
to say to a man,
general.
Oh, honey, you know what? This
what
is
it's called,
Bill,
is that you
Joe,
got the right
to
your body.
Like
you know what you women are doing? If a wife was saying to her husband, okay, now remember, they're married in order to have a, to be a wife and a husband. She's saying, if you're wearing a rubber, it gives me so much displeasure. Please take it off. You would say, you know what? It's the wife's right to have that that rubber off. Oh, and if she gets pregnant, now it's her right to have the baby or not. I don't want to hear
but
these freaking double standards.
Where is your responsibility?
He don't have any.
You know what, Joe? I told you the responsibility for yourself.
Within
holding
marriage.
Yourself
you
accountable
yourself.
For your actions. What is your
within,
part
within
in
the
this?
Marriage. So
where
the
is your responsibility in this?
And let me give it to you from another male perspective. You're talking about your body. The sperm inside a man, that's his responsibility, his part of his body. He can do whatever he wants within the marriage as well. So
that's
if he wants to go out and fucking and impregnate every other chick, that's his right because you've got shit to say about the sperm inside his cock. How about that?
Okay, well, then, Joe, if that's the case, then, and
really?
You get 20
yeah,
or 50
really.
Women
if the fetus
pregnant,
belongs to her,
then that's
my sperm
20 or
belongs
50 women
to me, and it belongs to everybody else with a pair of nuts.
Thank you.
I mean, it's, you know,
well,
everyone has to take responsibility
from, right?
in it. But if you know that that's what you don't want,
well,
then you have to ensure
you women
that you don't
grow
do
up.
It.
Woman up and live up to your responsibilities. If you say you're going to do something, do it.
Okay, but you know what? What
no,
about
no,
if
you
say
know,
don't?
But what?
So
that's
it's
it.
Still, you know what? You have to protect your own interests.
Stop
just
it.
Like a woman has to protect her
so,
interests.
We keep
if
going
she lays there and knows that she doesn't
you know
want
why?
To have
right.
children,
because the law
then she needs
is
to
on
take
your
something.
Side. The law wasn't
if
on your
a
side,
man
you'd be
who
complaining.
Wants to make sure, excuse me, Joe, I was speaking. If a man wants to make sure that they do not bring a child into this world, that they do not plan on being with this person, then you have to protect your interests.
You don't make sense right now, Antoinette.
If something happens and she gets pregnant, it's your responsibility too. You can't just sit there and put the responsibility on someone else. Excuse me, Joe.
When is a woman supposed to take responsibility for her lies?
You know what, Joe?
No.
You're the one who's complaining about
it. When is a woman supposed to, as a responsible human being,
okay.
to
right.
be taking responsibility.
Right.
That
link is, Maze.
Hold on. Wait. Okay. All right. Hold on. Okay. Oh, man. I'm telling you, because I see we're about to go round and round, and nobody's going to budge on this one. It's simple. I'm going to put it out there. Both should take responsibility. That's the way I see it. Joe, you made a good point about the sperm. And,
well, I disagree
know,
with that all the time.
Cause
what happens when you,
yeah,
put,
she,
you throw your
yeah,
condom
you
in the trash can
thing.
And she goes
she,
to it and get it out?
That's nasty.
Okay. Hey,
I
mean, so that regardless
look, I know
whether
I just said hold up.
Actual
didn't I just say, wait a minute. See, y'all about to get started all over again. I just said, wait a minute. God dang. All right, look. You know, and thus is why we have so many issues now, because we can't agree on anything. And, you know, I understand we're not going to agree with anything, on everything. But it's interesting. It's simple. You know, if you really look at the comments, everybody should take responsibility for what they do. You know, if you're having sex with that someone, use protection. Then you don't have to worry about it. This abortion thing, I'm not for abortion. I'm not, okay?
I'll put
that out there. Except for, emergency situations where, you know, the fetus or whatever, then yeah. But other than that, but as I have said, the guy should have some input, you know, regardless. So while they're making all these great laws, you know, I think they should make a law requiring the guy to give his written percent as well. You know, then we probably could eliminate a lot of this nonsense
Both of them be responsible for the thing that they created. Both of them. Neither one of them get out.
You know what? This double
agree
with her.
And that would settle the whole
nerve.
Thing.
You can't say before somebody gets pregnant, you have nothing to say about this baby. And then after the baby's born, you have everything
to say
about this baby.
If you don't want to have children, go get fixed. That's what you do.
It's going to go silent here for a minute. Okay. Now, as I was saying, and here's a little electric. Okay, that's for those that know who it's for. Okay, now, as I was saying, you know, it's not going to, regardless, we're going to argue about this forever. Right now, I'm 40 minutes over, so we're going to have to leave it at that. As I always do, I give everybody a chance to say their last little piece. And let's see, we're going to start with, let's see, Antoinette. She's new to the show. We're going to show her some love and let her go ahead and give her last bit. All right, Miss Antoinette, your last words, ma'am.
Well, I enjoyed your show tremendously, and thank you for having me.
Well, thank you. We enjoyed you as well. But that's it?
Yes.
No more? Any final word? Oh.
No, that's all.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right, thank you, ma'am. And once again, you're welcome anytime. My mics are always open, okay?
Okay, thank you again.
You're welcome. All right, Mr. Lowe, and I just muted everybody, Lowe, not just you. I just muted everybody so I can get my last segment to do with it. Okay, that's called me being the host taking control. You know how that is. Sergeant Jackson stood up, put everybody at parade rest.
Raise up. Raise up and put them all at parade rest, damn it.
There you go.
I like this show, man. This was a good topic today. Even though it took a turn, I still enjoyed all of it. I will think back to something that Tionka said, and it was a very good point. What does a computer guy have to do with medicine? When he was talking about Bill Gates and his foundation.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
I'm glad you clarified that.
That's something that a lot of people look into. That has something to do with people not being able to have children also. Little do some people know. But all in all, as far as I'm concerned, if I, as a single man, would say, hey, all I need you to do is walk around with that baby in your belly. That's it. And you're too selfish to do that, then shame on you. That's the way I feel about it.
All right. Well, I understand. Thank you, sir. That's it? I guess I should ask that first, huh? All right. Thank you, Mr. Lowe. All right. Let's see. 410. You want
to talk? Oh, okay, yeah. It was an interesting. It was definitely an interesting discussion. I don't really agree with the whole abortion thing myself, but I understand that the law is the law. The woman gets to choose. Very debatable discussion, but at the end of the day, the show was definitely a good show. You know, when did you air? I check your show out again. When the next time you air?
Tomorrow, 2 p.m. Central time, Monday through Friday, 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. Central.
Oh, okay. It was an interesting show. I'll definitely check you out. Definitely. Good show.
All right. All right. Thank you, sir. All right. Miss Mays, where you at?
Hello. As I say, if you don't want children, fix yourself so you won't have to be responsible for nobody else's child. And if you happen to make some along the way, you split it half and half, 6 months her, 6 months you. if you don't make her your wife. And
okay.
That'll solve a whole lot of stuff that we see in this world today. Have a good one.
All right. Thank you, ma'am. That'll settle everything until it comes down to tax time. Then somebody got to claim the child. There's a battle going to go on. All right, Mr. Pianki.
Well, I'm still waiting on the answer Joe was going to give, how to change the black people's image.
Okay. That's what you're waiting on?
Yeah, the question you first posed out there about 2 hours ago when it was peaceful and quiet.
Okay, Pianki. And those are your last words for today?
Yes, I can't make anything else. I never did hear the answer. You know how your shows get carried away, especially when certain people come
up.
Yeah, I know.
If some guy named Pianki comes in and start, bothering folk and just get everybody riled up.
That's
okay.
Not true, because
thank
when
you,
I first
Pianki.
Came in, it was comments on how quiet it was.
Okay, Pianki. Quit being so sensitive. All right. Talk to you later. See you tomorrow.
Bye-bye.
Oh, Lord. All right, Mr. Joe, last but not least.
Yep. Man, a few words, sir. Here are my words. For the latter discussion that we just had, bull fucking shit. That's all I got to say.
Okay. Just like that, huh?
That's it.
Okay. All right. See you tomorrow.
All right.
All right, y'all. Another interesting, great show here on Let's Talk. Tomorrow's title is The Church on Trial. That's going to be another good one. I'm sure it will be. Man, I tell you, it's good. Change. Are we ready to change? Do we really want change? You know, that's something. I have to guess that only the individual himself can answer, you know, whether we really want change or not. But from the outside, we really don't want change because we can't even get along with each other. You know what I mean? We can't get along with each other, let alone talk with ourselves. But, hey, it's all good. It's all good. Anyway, so tomorrow's show, once again, the title of the show is going to be Is the Church on Trial? I'm sure that would be a good one. Thank you, everybody, for joining me today. Antoinette, welcome to the show. You know, much love to you. Welcome anytime. Benny, Boo Boo 714, thank you for joining the East Coast. You're quiet today, but thank you. You know, it's Real Talk Radio. Welcome to the show as well. We got you. Pianki, 410. Man, everybody on the switchboard in the chat room listening on other devices, because I wouldn't have a show without you. I do appreciate you, and thank you very much. Oh, man. Well, y'all, this is about it for me. I got to get up out of here. But remember to keep smiling, show appreciation, and forgive with an open heart. If you don't, you can't forgive yourself, then there's no way you can forgive anyone else. All right. Until tomorrow, 2 p.m. Central, 3 Eastern, 4. I always get that 4 in. 2 Central, 3 Eastern, 12 Pacific time. Thank y'all for joining us today. And if anybody has to see Goofy, tell him he need to check in. All right? Well, y'all, until then, y'all have a good one. We're going to get out of here with the song of the day. Here is Where I Stand by Miss Tiffany Teller. Till tomorrow, y'all. Y'all have a good one. I'm out of here. It's who I am.
shovel it out.